Missouri's Ideal Broadcast Day.
Ah, yes, 866-901-ADAM. Good morning, Teresa Strasser.
Good morning, Adam Carolla.
And welcome, Danny Bonaducci.
Morning.
Well, let's take care of some business as I was driving in thinking what to say, listening to the best of Tom Likas this morning. I was saying that listening to Likas at 5:14 in the morning talk about more poon for less cash feels like eating brisket at 5 a.m. in the morning with a glass of brandy. It's good stuff, but maybe not at 5 a.m. in the morning. I felt like I needed a second shower.
I was just talking about that. I was playing a comedy date in Chicago all this weekend. I literally just got off a plane. And part of the setup for the joke is, if you have your mouth completely prepared for a sip of Coca-Cola, and you grab the glass and you get a mouthful of milk,
yes,
two fine beverages, nothing wrong with either of them, but because you're prepared for one, the other freaks you out.
That's where the gag reflex comes in.
If I may add in, more poon for less money is a fine concept.
It's right on my license plate frame, Danny. It's right on the custom van I have parked out. There's Love Tron and Rainbow Tape. It's right out there. But at 5:14 in the morning, when I'm poised to hear my own nasally drone at 5:14 in the morning, to hear Likas talking about more poon for less cash. But important message nonetheless for the kids getting ready for school.
Now the thing, I guess, you know, sometimes he gives out fine advice, but I will tell you, I was listening on the way in because I was kind of scared, you know, your first day. Mm-hmm. And this deal happened so fast that I got this job. And by the way, thank you very much.
No, well, thank you.
No,
and we should be clear about this because I've seen it all over the message board and how it went down. I want to be honest and upfront and sort of clear the air. And here's what I hope we can do today. Hope we can do some good radio, but I also hope we can sort of lay some things to rest and then move on with our life and our new radio relationship.
Yeah, because you will spend some time laying things to rest.
Right. What I don't want to do, though, is be down the road 7 weeks from now and have people yelling what happened to Damashek or whatever it is, because
right.
I know... Listen, I replaced Ricky Rackman over at Loveline, and then the first year I did that was always like, where's the poor man? Where's Ricky Rackman? I mean, that's how radio... Radio...
Where's the first Darren?
Radio goes away.
Well,
look, you're on a show where they yanked the Jewish drummer and put the Aryan drummer in. You didn't have to dedicate an episode to it.
No.
But you get to do it like it never happened. Sure, you get a few letters into the station, but you move forward. I figured we should address this and get into it. As anyone who listens to this show knows, even though we had our tongue sort of in our cheek, Dave Damashek was sort of on the bubble. The whole show was on the bubble. Here's what happened. A year ago, Howard Stern goes off the air, and they're going to fill his very big shoes with a few different people. They got David Lee Roth on the East Coast. They have a guy named Rover in the Midwest.
I've never heard Rover.
I've never heard him either.
I was in the Midwest, so I heard about Rover this weekend, but I never heard him.
I never heard him other than he was going to replace Stern in the Midwest or the middle of the country, and then Adam Carolla would get the West Coast. And I had a boss who was hired, who hired all these people and did everything well. About 9 months into the gig, Roth is gone, Rover appears to be gone, and the guy who hired me got fired, which is always a bad sign.
Never good.
Yeah.
There's a great line in a John Hyatt song, and I'm a big fan of John Hyatt.
As am I.
That said, oh, really?
Yeah. Well, my wife and him, they feel really good.
I love that man. Said, the guy who hired you just got fired and your job's expired. They just ain't told you yet, is one of the lines.
Very
which
nice.
Is, when the guy who hires you gets fired, it's never a good sign for you because you are the guy he hired. And there's a reason he got fired. All the guys he hired didn't work out. Well,
right.
I'm still here, which is the good news.
Yeah.
Because, you may already be a winner by John Hunt. Point is that there's basically four players and three of them are gone, and I'm the last one standing. We are in 11 markets, I do believe, and we've done pretty well in all of them except for Los Angeles, which, as it turns out, coincidentally is the only market they seem to care about.
Right.
So As a matter of fact, though, if we weren't doing well in Palm Springs and we were kicking ass in L.A., I get the feeling they tell me Palm Springs is the only market they care about.
No, you know what, though? Because I have done, and you'll have to pardon my voice. Like I said, I just got off this plane from doing all these shows. But if you do, like I had a couple of different national television shows, mm-hmm. and they only care about New York and L.A. They just don't care about the rest of the country. And I don't know why. There's 300 million Americans, and they don't all live in New York and L.A.
Well, the other thing, too, that we've sort of gleaned from the last year, which is some search came out and found out that I was the number two Googled. Was it Googled? What, a Lycos? Whatever it is, I was the number two name in radio searched out. It was like above... Rush Limbaugh and Dr. Laura and stuff. We have a lot of listeners who listen via the internet who aren't even in this country. Forget about in some of the markets we're in. Because when I did Loveline, we're in 90, 95 markets, and there's a lot of people in Chicago that heard Loveline for 10 years and still want to listen to me in the morning, and they found a way to do it via the computer. Somehow these people are neither here nor there. And I'm not sure how that works either, but if you have... You know, to me, it's all about just getting ears on your radio show, thus people who could potentially buy the products you're talking about on your radio show. But somehow it all boils down to these antiquated 45-year-old Arbitron diaries. Either way, we were not doing what we needed to do in L.A., and the deal always was, I said, give us to the end of the year to do what I think we can do in Los Angeles, and we didn't. Now, we did... And we had a crazy book or trend or whatever it was, Danny. I don't know if you know these exact numbers, but we were hovering around like a 1.2. We got up to like a 1.7, and then the summer, the whole station goes down, and we're down at a 1. I'm not, you know, this is ballpark stuff, but all of a sudden we get a 3.3, and everyone says, oh, fantastic. This is great. We got a 3.3. And then the very next month, we get a 0.7, and then to enjoy your Christmas.
I heard about the 0.7.
How did that get to you?
I've been in this business 16 years. I have a million agents. I've worked for a million radio stations. I was before people even told me, before I knew I was coming to work here. So some people were gloating who are not Adam Carolla fans or are Adam Carolla competition. And some people were just saying, these ratings make no sense. You can't possibly have a 3.3 one day and a 0.7 the next. And I happen to go with that crowd. I think the way ratings are done in radio are the most arbitrary thing in the world. There's talk of an invention, although I know the ACLU or somebody's going to get involved and say you can't do that. But freeway road signs... Mm-hmm. will be able to register what radio station is playing
as
you drive under it.
Well, I think all anyone could ask for is accuracy. And it's why I do sort of like can't figure out why they can't use the internet stuff or the people that are listening via the computer or downloading stuff that way. But either way, I think the general consensus with it is Arbitron is an antiquated, flawed system that's equally antiquated and flawed for everybody.
Right. Fair enough.
That's the way they do it, which is, yes, it sucks, and maybe it was wrong when you got a 3.3. How about that?
But it also sucks because when it's arbitrary for everyone,
mm-hmm.
it's also your turn in the barrel someday, meaning some guy that doesn't deserve it, some guy that's going to be up against, I like saying this now, us, is going to roll a 6.2 for no reason at all.
Yes.
Because that's the way it played that day.
Well,
it is weird the name Arbitron has arbitrary right in it.
Right in it.
I know. It's really like if you named your airline like a Crash Atlantic or something, you know what I mean? Like,
why
don't put Arbitron right in. If you're in charge of tabulating anything, try to keep the arbitrary word
right
out of it.
Exactitron.
How about coin toss-a-tron? Well,
the coin accountant.
The point is we got a horrible, dismal 0.7 in Los Angeles the month, or really 2 days before we had to go to Christmas break, which I knew was very bad times for not only me personally, but for other people on this program, such as Bruska, such as Dave Damashek, and the list goes on. Big Tad. There's a couple other people out there. The point is I just for the record, and just so again, the plan here is not to live in the past, not to dwell, not to show disrespect either for those who worked their asses off for a year, and maybe it was just bad timing. Maybe, again, the Arbitron monster reared its ugly head. Whatever the situation is, I would like to address it, be truthful about it, and then move forward, because that's all you can do, people. You can hang out and sit by the grave of your dead wife like Rocky did, or you can move on in life. I would like to put some flowers down by the grave of Dave Damashek and Jim Bruska and other people, and then move forward with our new date, Danny Bonaduce.
Well, if I may, as the new guy, because I had very little interaction with those guys. I know their names, but if you line them up, I couldn't tell you which one was necessarily which one.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry about that now that they're gone, but, and if I'm incorrect here, please feel free to correct me.
Sure.
But the fact is, I'm guessing you weren't really given a choice here, right? You could not have said, no, I refuse, and kept your gig. This is a big company.
Well,
people forget, because you're on the radio or you're on the TV, they think you're all-powerful. You work for the all-powerful Oz, and he says what goes.
Well, here's the deal. We got a 3-3 in the month before the .7. We got a 3-3. If we'd gotten a 4-0, I could have said, oh, these guys are staying, and they wouldn't have argued with me. And I don't know what the over-under was, probably about a 2-2 or something,
right,
where they would have said, we need to get rid of these guys, and I would have said, look what direction the arrow's pointing, things are moving up. There could have been an argument for anything in the low twos, maybe high ones, but a .7, that's a little stifling. And that was really the problem. I made these guys a deal, essentially, which is give us to the end of the year, and we left this studio with a .7 2 weeks ago, and that's not a very, very solid ground to argue from. So I basically had to take my lumps, and it's why starting up stuff sucks, you know? I was just having this conversation with my wife as we were pushing our stroller with the twins, and the dog was dragging me from one place that the dog had crapped earlier in the week to the next place
the
dog had taken a leak. I kicked it, actually, in the bushes
nice.
This time. I rolled it like a one of those cheese nut clusters and right into the ivy. But I said to my wife, I said, you know what stuff she was talking about tomorrow, you know, geez, what's it going to be like? And I said, the part of life I don't like is the startup part. It's the first date part. It's the first day on the job part. And the thing about the one thing you losers can say for yourselves who are heading to your dead-end jobs is at least you were going there this time last year and you know what to expect.
Right.
And everyone talks about how new and exciting life is supposed to be. It's new and scary most of the time when it comes to new jobs. The beginning part of a new job is Teresa knows. Well, geez, there's a lot of TV in this room. As Teresa knows from TV, as of course Danny knows from TV, as of course I know from TV. The first year is a bitch.
Right.
I mean, when I was doing my talk show, when Jimmy was doing his talk show, it's that startup. It's like the first month, the first week. I mean, when you start, you know, when you're Letterman and you're in the year 27, he doesn't drive to work angst-filled, wondering what he's going to talk about or how the monologue's going to go tonight.
Actually, I hear Letterman does.
Okay.
I know doesn't,
well,
but I hear Letterman's a freak.
He's nuts. But the point is the one good thing about a long-term job or a long-term relationship or long-term whatever is, you know, you can have a little spat with the old lady on a Saturday, and you know she's not moving out on Monday.
Right.
You've been there. It's
right.
A long haul. Maybe the sex isn't as exciting as it was the second day. Maybe this and maybe that, but at least there's consistency and you know what's going on. The startup, that's where the calories are burnt. It's nice to get into a nice groove, not sleepwalking through your relationship
right.
or your job, but that nice, consistent, you know, I did Loveline for 10 years. I would go in looking forward to it.
Right.
No anxiety, no, hey, what are me and Drew going to talk about tonight? Wonder how this is going to go. Wonder who's listening. Oh, my God, what about the ratings? You know, it's just nice.
But that's love line. You knew what you were going to talk about.
Well, yeah, that's true.
You know, you knew you were going to talk about, like, girl doesn't want to do it back that way anymore, and she cut it off,
yeah,
and is that fair?
Yeah.
That's, you know, how hard can that be?
No,
really?
I know what you're saying.
This is a different show. This is a beast that needs to be tamed at every quarter hour.
Oh, boy, this is going to be a long, long relationship. Yes, I agree. I agree, Danny. But I will say this. I look forward to a day not too long from now, because I believe we can expedite this process because you're smart. Teresa, I was pointing at myself, by the way, for this. No, because Danny's smart, Teresa's smart, and there's enough collective experience between the three of us that I feel like we can fast-track this chemistry thing, which is tough to do. Oftentimes, the three of you need to get together and start working in a Market 128 for 5 years before you move to Market 57, before you move to Market 27, and 11 years later, you have overnight chemistry. I would love to fast-track this thing called chemistry.
You're talking to the right guy.
I would love this show to hit its stride, to hit its... Again, the balance between comfort without lethargy.
No.
You know what I mean? You want to feel comfortable. You want to be able to speak your mind. You want to have that vibe and that groove and all that. On the other hand, you don't want to come in here and be falling asleep at the microphone.
No, see, the thing that you said that I differ from is that, or from which I differ, is that when you say the fear is the part you don't like, I do thrive on the fear. I really like coming into work. I put the little card key this morning, and the first thing, it didn't open anything. And
wow.
I went, my first day at work, I'm not going to be there.
Danny,
and the rumors are going to start already.
That was a vending machine, Danny. I got a line, yeah.
I didn't get any Oreos, nothing, man. Nothing good happened for me. I thought, this is it. And then I came in, and somebody handed me like a little sheet, things we might talk about, we might not talk about. I love that part. That's my favorite part. And to be too rehearsed and too, you know, work it out too well, that's how you fall asleep. You know what you're going to say an hour and a half from now.
Yes,
well, I meant fear. Like, for me, I'm not, you know, the fear thing is like sort of fear of not having a system, not knowing almost, I mean, this is a sort of mechanical example, but just knowing how to work the copier and how to work the coffee machine and where the boss's office is and just that rhythm. You know what it's like? Here's what I want to say, and then T, you definitely jump in. I don't like it when it's like driving a rental car. And when you start a business or when you start a new radio show or a new TV show, it is like driving that rental car where you hop in, it smells a little weird, the seat hasn't formed to your ass yet. You think you're turning on the windshield wipers and you're turning on the lights, and then you turn the radio and it's not where your volume was on your car. There's that thing, and you're driving down the road. It's not uncomfortable, but you're definitely not freed up to think about other things. You're driving with both hands
right,
and sort of concentrating. I love that part where you jump in, you click, you turn the key, it's on your favorite station, throw it in gear, and you're zooming down the highway without a second thought.
This is why I think you and I are going to get along wonderfully, because to me, a rental car is an ATV.
Well, that's...
Any rental car is an ATV. Let's see what we can make this thing do now. I'm indestructible.
It is nice to see what happens when you put it in reverse while you're still moving forward. Yes.
I think I'll be on the other end of the spectrum because I do think human beings really require some pattern and routine, and there's comfort in that. And so when you kind of start fresh, it's scary. Like last night I was falling asleep, and I was kind of had the first day jitters, even though it's not my first day.
Well, I will say that there is nothing that can, I mean, it. I guess in a way, we talk about, it's almost like rehab.
All right, here we go. Something
here we go.
All about.
Right.
Yes, there's no, chemistry as it pertains to rehab, which is there's just no substitute for 5 years sobriety. On the other hand, if we could do that thing where they pump some tranquilizers into us and we do a rapid detox,
right,
and 3 days later we wake up in a hospital bed in Palm Springs and we don't crave it anymore,
right,
that would be nice.
That would be nice.
I would love it if by Thursday... about 8:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
It's just, I got a nickname for you. Hey, Debo. Hey, T-Girl.
Debo is my nickname.
Debo. There you go. Nude showers. A shirtless volleyball game. Slow motion, baby.
You're thinking by Wednesday. I'm thinking 6:25.
All right.
I like that.
You got to have goals. We need to take a break. Danny Bonaducci, New Edition.
I remember New Edition.
New Edition.
That's when I was on radio in Phoenix. New Edition. Well, Bobby Brown.
Studio for now and for the foreseeable future, that's for sure. Again, we mourn the loss of friends. And I say friends. I saw Dave Damashek a few days ago over Kimmel's watching football. Our relationship is fine. He understands business is business. We mourn the loss of the folks that we've lost. On the other hand, we are going to dance with Who's in the Barn, and that is Danny Bonaducci, and I'm looking forward to a fruitful 07 with Danny, and not only Danny, but Teresa,
absolutely.
Who's very good and relatively new as well. We'll take a quick break. You can tell us about your thoughts on this if you have any. Also, we have another topic. Well, I'm trying to think, Danny. Do you want to get into this peanuts thing we're talking about when we were eating breakfast a few weeks back without Teresa Strasser?
Yeah.
You know what? For the foreseeable future, I think it's my best bet to follow what you do to get your pattern and then plan that area.
All right. Well, then I'll think about it while I'm taking a whiz, and we'll be back after this.
It's the Adam Carolla Show with Teresa Strasser and Danny Bonaducci. Call 866-901-ADAM. Here's Adam. It's the Adam Carolla Show.
Yeah. Danny Bonaducci is the newest member. We were trying to have an open discussion and then put it behind us. Again, there's what I don't want to do is have a bunch of people wanting to know if there was a second gunman on the grassy knoll
right
here. What I want is just to be wide open. And again, Dave Damashek is a good friend of mine. I thought he did a great job, especially for a guy who hadn't done morning radio. I thought he did a yeoman's job in the first year. One of the reasons, the thing I always say to my wife and anyone who listen, the only reason I want good ratings is not to listen to people, that to be left alone.
Right.
Now, you'll learn, Danny, from sitting and or standing to my right if hopefully you stand there for 1,000 years.
Right.
I like that Danny stands when he works. He's like a caged
dude,
tiger.
That's why I took this job, believe it or not.
Wow.
I really did. I said I had a solid offer with Jack Silver. Actually, I showed it to him so he would not think I was just trying to get more money to do the Danny Bonaducci show somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
And from my three occasions being here with you, and I felt in my heart, because I had been at other CBS stations where they're thinking about making some changes, I thought, if I'm really good, maybe somebody will come up with the bright idea of teaming me up with Adam Carolla.
Mm.
So it was in my head before it was in their head. Well, so I kind of started the ball rolling on this.
I do, you know, it's funny because
I thought like 30 years from now we could go at Dan Tana's or wherever old stars go to die with our big cigars and go, remember back in 2007 what a smart idea we had teaming up?
I do remember when Danny came
Debo,
in. Debo,
great idea, buddy.
When Debo came in as a guest, I remember thinking he's great.
No, that'll get us on to another thing, which is I had a lot of people over the Christmas break saying, oh, this guy's dangerous. You guys are going to get in a fist fight. I said, I think Danny is a lot smarter and probably a lot better than you know. You're used to seeing the E! True Hollywood Story side of Danny Bonaducci, but there's a part of him that is prompt, professional, and knows morning radio, and that's the part I hope we see for the next several hundred years.
Yeah.
By the way, just a footnote, Danny wants to do the show standing up. I'd like to do the show from a futon. I'm uncomfortable sitting down, like to lie down, like to do the show like you could be my Yoko.
Okay.
We'll go to the Hilton, we'll climb into bed, we'll get nude, and we'll put an ISDN line in here, and Danny can run on a treadmill and do the show from the studio.
I've done that too.
Well, I just wanted people to know exactly what was going on, which is Jimmy Brusca's a friend of mine. Dave Damashek's a friend of mine. This is business. We didn't get the ratings we needed
in Los Angeles and the suits in New York made some changes. And while, and I should be open with Danny about this, while I would have preferred the status quo because I thought we could have made it work, I do understand that it is a business. They had to do what they, look, when somebody's paying you, they get to do what they think is right. And when people said, oh my God, Danny Bonaducci, like people were, I went through my Christmas break running into people like I'd lost my wife, you know, people, oh, I'm sorry. I am sorry, Adam. I just, if you, do you want a moment or are we okay? And I would say, you know what? I think Danny's smarter, funnier, and more professional than you people are giving him credit for. And so again, while I shed a tear for the loss of the people, from last year, Dave and Jimmy and others, I welcome Danny Bonaducci to the show and have every intention of having this work out. And what I wanted to get back to with ratings is, and it just depends what kind of person you are, my goal in life is to be left alone, certainly by superiors. And I tell everyone the reason I want good ratings is not for the money and not for the accolades. It's to be left alone.
Absolutely.
When you get bad ratings, then everybody has a goddamn opinion and you have to listen to them. Everybody who doesn't know anything about comedy, everyone who doesn't know anything about morning radio, everyone who doesn't know anything about everything gets to nibble on your ear and you just have to sit there like a goddamn statue and listen.
And most of those people are failed jocks and then move to another position
right.
on radio.
And now they become experts.
Right.
These are guys who got, you know, cut off the JV team in high school and now telling you how to play ball.
Wait till they introduce you to a consultant.
That's a
guy that got fired in Indiana.
Right.
And then became a consultant.
Right.
And what kind of brilliant information does the consultant give you?
I have never really understood
more
what they actually
more for less cash.
Yeah. No more balloons.
They got things like September.
Rocktober.
Two for Tuesdays.
Yeah.
These are all good things.
Hey, it's Manuary.
It's Manuary.
I was told one time in Manuary what a good idea it would be to go down. Now, I'm not joking because I've been in radio a long time. This was not that it wouldn't be just as funny today, but for Manuary to go to the streets and shave men's backs and weigh the hair. And whoever had the most back hair won ticket to some manly event.
That's
a consultant.
Well, I'm hoping. Wait a minute.
Hey,
Jack
Bill,
Silver.
Write that down. That's hot stuff.
Wait, Jack, no. Jack, that was being used as a negative example.
Danny, I like it. Bringing tables and bringing ideas to the table. Keep up the good work, people.
I think Jack Silver used to be a jock. Yeah, Jack?
Yeah. Disco duck, baby.
All right, well, my goal, and this is for people who don't believe me, I, you know, did Loveline for 10 years. I had no idea what the ratings were. We never heard because they were good, and that meant we were left alone, which meant I didn't want to hear what they were. Just leave us alone, and that's how I spent my last 10 years. So let's get the ratings up, and then let's not have any more conversations about ratings or talk to any consultants.
Idea. Because my goal is, and when I was number one, and I have, God bless, I have been number one in several major markets, and they do. They leave you alone. They don't bother you at all.
Streak's over, and, buddy. I got news for you.
And I will tell you this, that we were on a seven-second delay, and I would leave the car, the studio so fast, I could hear myself say goodbye in the car.
Yeah, it was beautiful.
I'd just be gone because nobody wanted to talk to me because I was number one, and what were they going to say? So that's all we got to do.
It is.
That's all we got to do.
People never talk about that aspect of being number one in whatever your profession is, radio or maybe you produce tennis shoes. Whatever it is, when you're on top, it's not – everyone always talks about the awards and the accolades and the money and the this and that. It's the lack of things that they don't talk about. The part where you just don't get hassled, where you're leaving – yes, where the radio show ends at 9:54 and you're heading out at 10:01 and you pass the boss in the parking lot and he just gives you a thumbs up as you crack a beer and walk out to the van. Doesn't give you where you're heading. Shouldn't you be planning tomorrow's shows? We have a meeting, by the way. We need you to fly out to Albuquerque and talk to some clients. There's none of that. That's the part about being number one. That's where you're not hassled. That's what we should all strive
just
for.
Just so you know, though, the the crack in the beer thing,
mm-hmm.
that is in my contract.
Oh.
I will be let go immediately if I have seen crack,
is that really,
cracking a beer.
Your contract says that if you drink, you will be removed?
My contract is literally two paragraphs long, and my morals clause is 11 pages. basically it says, Danny, if you do anything that becomes natural to you, you're right. fired for it.
If you follow your instincts, Danny,
yeah, you're
out.
Fired.
Pete? The good news is you're fired.
Right.
Pete?
Yeah.
How say you, my brother?
Pete? Happy 07, gentlemen, and Teresa.
Thank you.
So I want to say that I'm going to miss Dave, and the reason I'm going to miss Dave is because he had great comedic timing.
Mm-hmm.
And not in the sense that if you put him on a stage, I've never seen his solo act. But
I'm not sure he has either.
Yeah.
He knew the role on the show. And
yeah.
And Danny, if I had one piece of advice,
please,
it would be to know that with Carolla, he's just, it's like the advertisement says, he's an American genius. He's got the wit that just is just not out there. It's
is this
rare.
Our first Ask His Rodeo of 07?
Maybe.
No, I'm still waiting for the one piece of advice.
It's Ask His Rodeo.
You recognize my genius and stand in awe while I do 4 hours of radio.
Okay.
Step back. You're already standing.
In all seriousness, you got two alpha males now.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
I hope it works out, because otherwise I think there's going to be a serious iPod effect. And by that, I mean people are going to go to Sirius or fire up their iPods.
All right, Pete. Well, we appreciate you sticking with us and giving Danny that pearl of wisdom. Shut up and recognize genius. Thank you, Pete.
Yeah.
All right. Unclear whether Pete, I feel like Pete's coming home and not heading out to work. Once in a while.
You know what I do? Yeah, I get the feeling that Pete is a big fan of yours.
Yes.
Well, maybe that was it.
That's good enough.
I don't know why, but I always.
You know, every single one of those 0.7 people pays your rent. And that's the way I look at it every time. I meet a fan. The day you see me wearing a dark hat and sunglasses, I've retired.
Yeah, I.
You know, these guys pay my rent.
Well,
I like them.
I wish I had the same feelings toward my fans. You know what it is?
Really?
You know my problem is? My self-esteem is, I've said this many times, I don't have low self-esteem, I have no self-esteem.
Right.
Which, we'll get into my family, my background, and all that, as well as getting into yours, I hope, as the show progresses. But for me, it's confusing. It's not that I have any ill feelings toward my fans. I'm always sort of like, oh, what do you care about me for? Move on with your life. Thanks for listening, and then get on with your life. What do you care? What do you want my autograph for? It's the low self-esteem, not the no self-esteem. Mark?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
You want to welcome Danny?
Danny, welcome to the crew. We love you, buddy.
What's
Danny
up,
B?
Man? What's happening?
Danny B in the place to be. We love you, dude. Hey, I got a quick question for you, man.
Mm-hmm.
Why couldn't you just smoke weed? Some weed. What are you going to be messing with everything else? You're drinking the vodka. You're doing the crack. Smoke some pot.
I assume, by looking around the room, that you're probably talking to me.
Yes.
Yeah,
that's you, Danny.
Not me.
Yeah. You know, I can see looking here that he wasn't talking to you. Let me ask you about your hobbies. What do you do for fun that just... It's just something that you do for you. Name me like three things.
What do I like to do? Yeah. I like, you know, the usual guy stuff. I like to go out and play sports. I enjoy my work.
He likes to hassle people for not smoking weed.
And I like to go out and hang out with my friends.
Sports.
You know, that's what I like to do. I get enjoyment from everything.
So my answer is in the form of a question. Why not just sports? Why do you have to do those other two? Why isn't sports enough?
Oh, because I enjoy sports more when I smoke weed.
Okay, well, I enjoy crack more with the ass.
Well, wait a second. I do want to bring that up, because there's some people that don't smoke weed, but they'll do any other drug that's put before them.
You can't smoke weed.
You can't smoke it.
Why? What happens?
I was on probation for 7 years at one point in three different states. I was a real bad kid for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened was they all wanted drug tests, urine tests twice a week. Mm-hmm. Which meant as many as 8 a week. Mm-hmm. So I don't think I peed at home for 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you weren't wearing a white lab coat, I couldn't go.
Right.
So finally, like, the 7 years went by, and I kept thinking, the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to smoke pot. The second I'm off probation, I'm going to smoke pot. And what had happened is, it had gotten so strong in the time I had quit to the time I was off probation that it made me, like, paranoid, like I don't know, I've never tried methamphetamine, but I'm guessing. But it made me, like, I think cops were everywhere. I thought,
Jesus, a drug I've done that you haven't done?
Yeah, no, there's a lot.
This is amazing.
Actually, illegal drugs, aside from the steroids, I haven't done really, I haven't fooled with in years and years and years.
Well, I want to get back to the weed thing, too, because I've said it many times. The weed has passed me by. It's been engineered in the lab or in the basement or in the hydroponic pot farm to the point where I can't enjoy it anymore. I feel like, much like NASCAR has a restrictor plate, which is to say the technology's gotten too good and the cars have gotten too fast and now people are starting to get hurt. So they put a restrictor plate in the carburetor that slowed the cars down. It's still made for competitive racing. Yeah, what happened with a lot of motor racing is, and I'll tie this into the weed in 1 second, kiddies. What happened with automotive racing is somewhere in the mid-70s or early 70s, it was balls out. It was 2,000 horsepower in a 1,000-pound car, and people were being killed. And somebody said, look, let's keep this competitive and let's keep it fast, but let's slow it down a little bit because people couldn't keep up with the technology. It's sort of like another sports analogy. It's why they don't use aluminum bats in the major league. Pitchers would be killed if they used aluminum bats because the ball comes off the bat.
Right.
We have the technology. We choose not to use it.
But we
slowed cars down. We need to slow weed down is what I'm saying, because I go to a party and the weed is too good. Now, it needed to be better than what it was in the 70s when you do that thing where you'd smoke a bunch of leaves and the one guy would go, are you high? I think I'm high.
I'm not sure. Are you
There's
high?
No question. You do a bong load of stuff with purple crystals on it now. Yeah. There's no, are you high?
And they can smell it in the neighbor's house and you haven't even smoked it
yet.
And
you can't go back once you're too high.
Well, yes. When I was 14, I spent my entire, you know, from age 14, age 19, answering the question, are you high? I don't know. I think I'm high. Nobody does that anymore. Yes, I'm effing high out of my mind now. I go to a party. I want to look cool, but I don't want to be obliterated for the rest of the night. All I'm saying is I'm looking for the wine cooler of pot. You know what I mean?
Really?
That sort of thing somewhere between 1972 and the 07 Chronic. You know, I'm looking for something around 1991, 92, right in there that's just good enough, but not so much where I'm going to stare at my hand for the entire party.
See, when I had to quit drinking and made every promise in the world that I would quit drinking, which was about 11 years ago. Yeah, I didn't say I made it.
Right.
But, you know, you made the promise and then you tried your best. What I tried to do was find other things that would replicate the intoxication and the effect of alcohol. And there isn't one.
I agree.
You would think with all the amazing that Pfizer could come up with a good buzz pill.
Yeah. Well, I hear Quaaludes used to be good.
They were.
Never tried one.
I don't mind a Xanax.
Oh, God, you just warmed the cockles of my heart, man.
Hey, Debo, a Xanax is pretty good, but you got to have a glass of wine with it.
Yes.
My wife, who is a super straight arrow, a very serious practicing Christian. Also, although if you're that good of a Christian, you shouldn't be afraid of dying in a plane crash because you're going to go to heaven.
Right.
But she still sweats and freaks out so much that she's actually been told by the flight attendants, lady, you have to calm down. You're
really
scaring other people. Yeah, it's bad. And she now takes a Xanax. But see, there are Xanax, and then there are Xanax. If you get the little round little pink ones, they're just cute. And if you get the big white stick ones, now you're having a party. My wife takes one of the little cute pink ones with a glass of wine, and she's a different human being completely.
Hey, hopefully in the bed as well. Danny, let me ask you this about weed. Are you, though, one of these people, because they're the people that don't smoke weed because it doesn't work with their temperament? I have friends who will drink a fifth of scotch and do anything you put in front of them, but they don't like weed because it makes them feel sort of out of control in a way that they don't like to feel out of control. I guess what it is there's certain people that'll do, they'll do a pitcher's mound of cocaine
right,
and follow it up with a fifth of Jack Daniel because it makes them feel like they're on top of the world
right,
and could kick the ass of the biggest guy in the bar. And then there's the guys who smoke a little weed and feel scared to leave the men's room and it freaks them out. Do you have that with weed? Or is it just what you said before?
I do have that with weed, but I have a weird separation. If I'm having a very nice, or was having a very nice, I'm completely sober now. I'm this shy of a year.
Wow. Yeah,
that's a world record
for me.
You mean like a week or two shy?
No, 11 months shy. No. just a little bit shy. I enjoy the good, cool buzz, but there's almost nothing I enjoy more than being afraid.
That's when you know you're alive.
This arm is completely full of titanium, and this one's full of brass, and I've got medical evolution all the way through my body, because this hand is 1985 brass and copper, and this leg is something else, and this leg is stainless steel, and this is titanium.
Yes.
So all the way up, I'm like the medical improvement guy.
You have plates and screws
and every part and every major quadrant. And I don't really remember the pain of the bad ones, but I do remember when waking up being all stitched up and thinking, wow, I can't wait to tell people. There is something about the fear that I enjoy as much as a buzz.
Well, it's an interesting topic.
If somebody says, don't go down that street at night, that's the first place I'm going.
It's a good topic probably for another day as we get into our rain here, which is, I have the same feeling, which is if there's something that scares the bejesus out of you, you would probably lead a richer life, or you would probably be a more well-rounded person if you went and confronted that. On the other hand, that doesn't mean put your head into a ceiling fan and end up with a bunch of titanium plates in your forehead.
Right.
There is a balance. It's like, you know, I have a young son now. He's 7 months old. I would want him, if he was scared, to confront a bully, or if he was frightened of a certain activity or whatever. There's a little Sonny now. I would want him to confront that. On the other hand, I don't want him jumping building to building on an Elsinore 250 and possibly killing himself. There is a interesting balance there. And the problem is I think is some guys go too far for it, you know, that I'm going to jump the Great Wall of China on my skateboard. And the other one is I'm not leaving the house. Maybe Danny's gone a little too far in that direction, but there is a nice balance there, Danny.
No, because I think when you say the ceiling fan, that's not an if, that's a certainty. If you do that, you're crazy.
Right.
You know, if you say, hey, I'm scared of putting my head in the ceiling fan, I better do it.
Yes.
That's crazy, because there is a certainty of damage, if not death.
Mm-hmm.
The way I do things, that if they frighten me, there is a certainty or distinct possibility that I won't be hurt at all, because I will negotiate it successfully, and that's what interests me.
Well, I was freaking the bejesus out of my wife, telling her a little bit more about the Ace Man and his upbringing. I had the same thing growing up. I had the daredevil gene, and I jumped off just about every apartment building in North Hollywood into every neighboring apartment building swimming pool by the age of 13. We'd climb up to the roof, get up, stand up on the parapet, and launch ourselves sometimes across a courtyard into the pool. Now, the thing, which is healthy, but the thing that was wrong with me is I would decide at a certain point I would need to do a flip off of this apartment building into the pool, whereas everyone else was, they were satisfied with just jumping into the pool. I would decide I would need a flip. They didn't need to watch me do a flip. They could go home, and I would then stand on the edge of the apartment building just looking over until I got the guts up to do a flip, which could have killed myself on the pavement, but I stood there, and I wouldn't go home until I did it, and it bothered me, and that's not the gene I want my son growing up with, because I don't want to scrape him off the coping of my pool.
But that's also a good...
Not because I love him, because a pool has very nice coping.
You know, but the thing is, you didn't make your friends that just jumped watch.
No.
Because then somebody without the ability to do that flip and still make that water would have done it.
Well, it was unclear whether I had that, but maybe Darwin weeds those people out.
Exactly.
They're not able to reproduce.
We
because
do flips up the Galapagos.
They're quads, yes. Brian?
Yeah, hey, Adam, how you doing?
Good. How say you, my friend?
Great, thanks. Hey, I just wanted to say that Danny Bonnet douchebag.
That's not here. Go ahead.
Isn't going to work out. And have a happy new year, because it's going to be your last one on the radio.
All right, listen.
Wait, hold on.
Dave, I recognize your voice. This is Dave Damashek calling you. No, it says, just so you know, Danny, it says a very... very excited about Adam and Danny, so I punched it up.
I can't get my screen to work. No, that's all right. But I would like to hear your reasoning for that. You know, I don't know. Do I know you?
No, I think he hung up. Wait a minute. Here's one. Oh, there we go. Let's see. Eva? Eva?
Yes. Good morning.
Yes, heap some praise on me and Danny, and then I'll hang up, because I know as a female, you're genetically incapable of doing a prank phone call unless I pay you to do it on our show, or your name is Sarah Silverman.
This is my first time listening to your show, and it's only because Danny is there. I stopped my other morning show to switch over. I have missed Danny so much. I think he's awesome.
Oh, you're great, Eva.
Thank you very much.
I really appreciate
and a,
that.
A good note to go to break on. But before we go to break,
Yes.
Why don't you tee up the news? Tell us what we'll be talking about when we come back.
Well, we're going to talk a little bit about New Year's throughout the country. Britney Spears, nobody knows if she was passed out or asleep. Debo, maybe you can give us some insights on that. And also, Joe Simpson has pimped out his daughter, Jessica, again. I know you'll like to hear that. And Brett Favre.
Mm-hmm.
Crying.
I love it when Joe Simpson talks about his daughter. Like, he's like, he has the one earring, he has the frosted tips, and he's wearing a silk shirt, and he's like, listen, I'm a man of God. I was, you know, I used to preach for a while in Florida, but when she sprung those D cups around 12 or 13, could not avert your gaze from those cans. I'll tell you, my daughter had some serious cannage going on and areolas for days, and it's like, are you out of your mind? It's your daughter, you stupid preacher. Stop talking about her jugs.
The whole little gaggle right now, the Paris Hilton, the Britney Spears, the Jessica Simpsons, it's all bad. It's all rich trash.
I couldn't agree more, but as a lovely slow-motion train wreck to watch from my sofa every night. We'll take a quick break, be back with news and our newest member, Danny Bonaducci, after this.
Here's what's coming up this morning on the Adam Carolla Show with program director Jack Silver.
Happy 2007, peeps! Hey, the Jackman still hung over from New Year's Eve. I got a tradition. As the ball drops, so do the Jackman's pants. We'll play the same name game. Hey, I got one. Danny Bonaducci. And some other guy named Bonaducci. Good. Work with it. From E! News Daily, Juliana DePandy. She's got a little too much junk in the trunk, but the Jackman still tapped that. And what can Adam complain about? Here's something he can't complain about. The Jackman's New Year's resolution. Don't be gay. Bye.
Thanks, Jack. It's the Adam Carolla Show with Teresa Strasser and Danny Bonaducci. Here's Adam.
Those used to be 8 to 12 seconds.
That was what now, like 40 minutes?
That was Freebird.
It's basically Dr. Zhivago.
That was Green, yes.
In the Gata de Vida.
That was the Barry Lyndon of promos.
This is damn exciting.
All right.
Stuff.
Well, there's time left. No.
I just want to see how
hold
much.
On. Angie's saying we have to go to break.
I'm Teresa Strasser, and that was
nice
news.
Job, baby. We'll be back. No, T, what's in the news, baby doll?
Former President Gerald Ford is now being taken by motorcade over to Washington's National Cathedral for a state funeral. That'll be held this morning. A bell at the cathedral will toll 38 times for the 38th president. And the funeral will be attended by Secretary of State Henry Kissinger and both President Bush, the latter, and the current.
I can't figure out.
41 and 43.
Yeah, 41 and 43.
I thought everyone hated him. Or at least didn't respect him.
Ford?
No. He just fell down a lot. They made fun of him for falling.
I think he fell down twice. Fell down 4,000 times.
That's what I said over the weekend. I said, I can't believe that Gerald Ford died before Chevy. Ford fell down twice. Chevy fell down 4,000 times for that bit.
Well, he took over after Nixon and the Watergate.
Was he ever actually elected, ever?
No.
No, he was never even elected.
He took over for Agnew, vice president, after a scandal with him, and then after Nixon. So he was never elected, but now I think history has been kind to him and people think of him in a lot of ways.
Actually, he's a real, from what I know of him, a real decent guy. I don't follow politics real closely, but from what I understand, he's a very decent man.
Well, I'll tell you, he's a better man than I am because I was
you know, I've worked with you for like an hour, and I'm getting that you can say that about a lot of people.
Yes, that's right. You and me both, brother.
Yeah, no kidding.
I was all league in high school as a football player, and I weave it into every conversation I have. I get pulled over, and it's like, did you know how fast you were going? I'll tell you one thing I did know. I know I was all Central Valley, first team, North Hollywood High, 1982. I will weave that in every conversation. He was All-American.
Yes.
He was voted, or he was an All-American on an undefeated team, that a national team in Michigan, and never spoke about it.
But wouldn't leave the fact that he was adopted alone.
Oh, really?
Yep, kept talking about, but that was to help, you know, look, you can adopt a future president.
If I was All-American and I was on an undefeated national football team that won, that was essentially what Ohio State and whoever are going for next week, I would never stop talking about it. As a matter of fact, he's been dead for a week, I'd still be talking about it. The over-under on me stopping talking about playing football in high school is 3 weeks after I die.
Well, beyond that, he was offered spots on the Detroit Lions and the Green Bay Packers, but turned it down because at that time the NFL did not pay well. It was about $200 a game. So he actually turned down the NFL, which most people would bring up constantly.
It was a different time. All right, he'll be missed.
Yes, he'll be missed. And now
not
on
by anyone under 80, but he'll be missed.
And now on to New Year's Eve. I don't know if you guys watched the ball drop. Dick Clark was back his second year after his stroke. And here he is doing the final countdown. He does pretty well. I believe he skips the number 10, but let's just take a listen.
12, 11, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Happy New Year!
He wouldn't work well over at NASA.
No.
Freedom, you're clear for takeoff in 10, 5,000. Let's eat.
You know what, though? I mean, from last year, because Dick is a very close friend of mine. I've known him since I was 2 years old. I did my very first TV commercial with him. My father worked for him.
I don't want to one-up you, but I've known him since 18 months.
Okay, good. Okay,
I don't want to one-up you, but he's my dad.
Oh, my God.
When he did the last year's New Year's Rockin' Eve or whatever it was, I just thought it was the worst call ever.
Happy New Year 2006.
Last year. I thought it was inspiring.
I thought he should have come on and said, hi, I'm Dick Clark. I've had a stroke, but I wouldn't miss this for the world. I'm happy to be here. Here's Ryan Seacrest. Done with it. And he shouldn't have really hosted the show.
An interesting topic, maybe for another day, too, because I keep seeing these L.A. Marathon commercials, guys running around with two wooden legs and people pushing themselves on four-wheeled things across the stuff that are amputees and everything. And I thought, stop proving something to yourself at everyone else's expense all the time.
Right. I'm with you.
Run the marathon and prove something to yourself that you can finish in under 4 hours. But don't do that thing where it takes 16 hours and I can't get to work the next day because they closed off Wilshire Boulevard because you're proving something to yourself. Dick Clark, prove something to yourself at home by getting a boner and getting on top of your wife.
I'm totally with you.
Do not stagger through our New Year's.
If you are the, and this picture comes to mind and haunts me to this very day, if you're the marathon runner that it means so much to, that you lose control of your bowels and keep running.
Mary Decker, stop
and wipe. I've seen the freeway signs.
Stop, drop, and roll.
That's right.
She was running and wiping. She was so dedicated to finish that marathon.
That's not dedication, that's insanity.
I'm just saying, we never stop applauding people that are proving it to themselves, and that's good half the time, but if you've had a horrible stroke and you slur your words, you don't need to host the New Year's Rockin' Eve.
No.
You got enough money in the bank. And by the way, Dick, if you haven't proved it to yourself by age 74, you forget it. You know what I mean? You've done your work.
He's a titan. He doesn't have, right. But the thing is, I think he can't help himself.
I think he has to do it.
You know who else can't help herself? Little Miss Britney Spears. She, a couple weeks ago, was at a club called Les Deux, and reportedly, she threw up and had to be carried out. Then, on New Year's, now here's the controversy. Some people are reporting that she passed out in Vegas at a nightclub shortly after ringing in the New Year and doing the countdown. Some people are saying that she just fell asleep. But either way, she had to be carried out.
Hold on. You can't fall asleep at a nightclub. You pass out at a nightclub.
That's what it sounds like to me.
Yeah, I think you could fall asleep at a nightclub, but I think if you have to be carried out, that would wake you.
Also,
I think that she was passed out.
I mean, you can do copious amounts of drugs and booze and fall asleep. But again, that's called passing out.
Fair enough. I'll be on the semantics.
When you're wearing stiletto heels and no panties, you don't fall asleep. You pass out.
Right.
You know what I mean? When you're wearing a cocktail dress, when you're wearing things with sequins on them, you don't fall asleep. You pass out, especially when they're pumping techno music.
Am I the only guy that thinks when a girl passes out, I mean, not a girl, that's because that's just salacious and wrong. When Britney Spears specifically, or Lindsay Lohan, or Paris Hilton, wear those really hot pumps and those really short skirts and no underwear, and then pass out, am I the only one that thinks that's really cool of them?
Yes.
I just want to leave a little thank you note pinned to them.
I
appreciate the shot and love Danny Bonaducci. Just pin it to the little blouse.
I just like the idea that all of them are rolling in cars that are 4 inches off the ground. So thus, when the paparazzi is standing by the curb, which makes them an extra foot taller on top of the guy who's 6 foot, and they try to climb out of the car wearing the short skirt, will you do the math?
Do the math on that.
Yes,
well, let's talk about Joe Simpson.
My favorite.
Father of Jessica and Ashley Simpson. Now, according to Page Six in the New York Post, Joe Simpson made a deal with Dallas Cowboy QB Tony Romo. And the deal was that Romo could name drop Jessica, saying that the two were having a relationship, in exchange for Joe Simpson getting football tickets. Now, in fact,
she got those, Tony, Romo, you ain't no homo, are you? Because my daughter's got some cans, man, double D cans. You want to add them? You into TFing? Come on.
I thought you said, do you want Adam?
Yes.
Will that give me tickets?
Hop in, the water's fine.
Well, Romo is actually dating an American Idol finalist, Carrie Underwood.
Ryan Seacrest. Mm-hmm.
What?
That's who he's dating. That's what I heard.
That's what I hear.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting. I hadn't. Okay, now, on Sunday, the Green Bay Packers beat the Chicago Bears, and it may have been Brett Favre's last game. He's asked about it, and he becomes very emotional. Let's take a listen to Brett.
It's tough. Miss these guys and miss the game, but just want to let them know that. I wasn't planning on doing this either. Way to put me on the spot.
Probably the Viking and talking.
Yeah.
Look, I don't understand. You know, there were talk at the beginning of the year about this guy retiring. He looked pretty damn good his last game and the last half of the season. And he is a couple of passes away from shattering every record all time. He is one more season, really, away from being the number one quarterback of all time. And he looked good, and his health looked good. So I don't understand why he's not going to play one more year.
Well, I should also mention, for Stone Guy Brian's sake, that USC did win the Rose Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Now, over the weekend at the box office, Ben Stiller's movie Night at the Museum was number one for the second week. The Pursuit of Happiness with Will Smith, number two. And number three, hanging in there. Dream Girls.
If I see any more Will Smith and his goddamn family, I'm going to vomit all over my own. I got to say, I don't mind Will Smith, but I do mind his wife.
Jada Pinkett.
Her obnoxious for some reason. Yes, and when he gets together with her and the kids, it is a party that's going on in my brain that I can't even speak of. I can't stand it. Somehow, he's mildly annoying, but he's all right. He's just one of these guys that's annoying because he's so talented and so positive.
Right,
I find him
real talented.
Oh, yeah. I do, too. Oh, one thing you should definitely know, Danny, there's a lot of people that I don't like that I go, this guy is a very talented person. I just don't like them. And then there's people I don't understand what they do. There's the Nicole Richies of the world where it's like, why are we talking about this girl again? I don't know what she does. And then there's, I don't know, Whoopi Goldberg or Oprah or something where I go, I hate these people, yet I understand they're very smart and they contribute much to society. He would fall into that category. But when he gets together with his kid, and they work on that Rubik's Cube, and they talk about what a joy it was working together. It makes me, I either want to break down and cry or kick my dad right in the nuts. Or both.
See, because my kid would not be that happy about being in my company that often. My kid would say something really crappy.
Yeah, if you're...
They cut a lot of it out. I did that reality show, Breaking Bonaducci.
Sure.
And, like, I'd say anything to this kid, my 12-year-old. I'd say anything to this kid, and if she didn't like it, it would just be young crack dad. not boy was it quality time being with you.
Yeah.
Young crack dad.
And only 30% of the time it was true.
Less than 30.
Now I don't know if you guys saw it, but Rocky Balboa coming in at number 6.
Mm. I will see it.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see it?
I did see it. It was let's see, I'll be honest about this. I feel like it was one of these things where people thought it was going to be a train wreck, an abortion, and a disaster, and it wasn't. Thus, people are saying it's a great movie. It's by no means a great movie. It is the opposite effect of what happens when a movie comes out that you don't see, and it's a month and a half of people going, did you see Little Miss Sunshine? I love Middle of the Sunshine. It's the greatest movie ever. And then 2 months later, you get around to renting it, and then you walk into work with your arms folded the next day. Oh, did you see Little Miss Sunshine? Yeah, I saw it. Well, didn't you love it? You know what? It was fine. It wasn't anything as good as you'd built it up to be. This is the opposite of that. This is people going in with expectations like, this guy is going to have a colostomy bag hanging out of his boxing trunks. This is going to be an embarrassment.
I already
believe
great.
It. Yes. And people walk out of the movie going, you know what? That wasn't that bad.
Right on.
Which still doesn't make it a good movie.
Right.
And there's another thing that I said about it, which is, it's an interesting index, which is, as a movie, it was a 6 to a 6.5, but as a but the watchable index on it was a 9.
Oh, nice. All
right. Where is something like The Good Shepherd was a 9 as a movie, but the watchable index was a 6.5. So it's like, good movie versus how much do you want to see it?
Right.
Sort of like a Twinkie. No, this is not fine pastry. It's a Twinkie and it's satisfied.
Now, I hate to use this movie as an example because I'm sure I'm going to get slaughtered because there's more people that agree on the opposite team. I had heard that Borat, is that what it is? Borat,
yes.
Was the funniest movie ever. The funniest thing you're ever going to see in your whole life.
Yes.
Didn't think so, not even a little. Chuckled twice.
Well, that happened to a lot of people, too, because when somebody says, this is the funniest movie that's ever been made, then, of course, it's never going to exceed that potential. And I felt the same way. I thought the movie was still very funny. But I understand when stuff gets built up, well, the opposite is happening with Rocky.
Right.
And I'll tell you the other problem that this movie suffers from, which is director, star, producer, writer. There needs to be that voice, that outside voice. Maybe it's the director who's directing the star, but not the star directing himself. Where someone says, pace it up, move it along. That wasn't your best take. We don't need this scene. When you write it, produce it, direct it, and star in it, I don't believe you have that person that hovers over you telling you that's not so funny or that's not so interesting.
I have a name for that.
What is it?
It's called the Howard the Duck Syndrome.
Yes.
Do you remember Howard the Duck?
Sure.
Yeah, Ron
George,
Howard.
George Lucas made it.
George Lucas.
And George Lucas has just made everybody a gazillion dollars and can do no wrong. And so he says, I got an idea. It's a story about a duck from space
who starts a rock band.
And everybody goes,
Leah Thompson.
Yeah. And everybody goes, God, you're such a genius. And they end up making Howard the Duck.
No,
That's what happens if nobody's there to say no.
This is what happens on a smaller scale to a lot of celebrity guys and girls who go out looking like idiots, wearing the wrong stuff or doing the wrong thing. They need one guy from the old neighborhood who's not scared to raise their hand and go, hey, dude, doofus, that suede vest makes you look gay. Now take it off. Or at least put a shirt on underneath it, homo. That's what they need. But when everyone stands around and applauds, when you get a posse, that's where you get into trouble, whether you're making films or whether you're making rap records. When you surround yourself with yes men, you can quickly spin out of control.
Yes, you've got to have checks and balances. Now, can I safely assume that I'm the only one in the room that saw Dreamgirls?
Yes.
Yeah, you may safely assume twice.
Oh, it was so good.
Mm-hmm.
So good.
All right.
Well, rounding out the top 10 are Happy Feet, which has been there forever, and The Holiday. Jude Law and Kate Winslet.
Nice job.
I'm Teresa Strasser, and that's the news.
Danny Bonaducci in. And again, if you've just joined the show, we've already basically given our condolences to the Bruskas and the Damashek and all the other people that were part of the show in 06. We mourn their loss, but we also look ahead to the future with Danny Bonaducci, and we're happy to have him. We're going to do a little What Can't Adam Complain About? 866-901-ADAM. A first one of 07. Danny, this is, I don't know if you've heard it or not, but this is where I prove I can complain about anything.
Right.
The point is you don't call in and talk about ozone depletion or the Middle East. You call in and ask about puppies or baby polar bears or sunshine, rainbows. You ask about even the things I love in life, such as TiVo, napping, and TiVo. I love it that much.
Wait.
I actually say it twice.
Okay.
And I will find a way to complain about it.
Interesting.
And this is what ultimately makes me miserable, is I can find an opportunity to complain about even the things I love. 866-901-ADAM. What can Adam complain about after this?
Back to the Adam Carolla Show. Call 866-901-ADAM to find out what can't Adam complain about.
What's the topic?
Edible underwear.
When they're on the ladies, no problemo. A little thong back. But the big boxer ones on a heavy set man, I've gotten halfway through the right leg and maybe the whiz hole, and then I had to stop and put it in the fridge. It was great cold the next morning, like pizza or pumpkin pie. How about some dipping sauce for that crab or that pube? No, thank you. I'll just stick with the shorts.
Here's Adam. It's the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, it is the first What Can't Adam Complain About of 07.
Nice.
We welcome in the new year with a new show. Danny Bonaducci in, Dave Damashek will be missed, but we march forward. All right, this is where you call in, you throw out topics. It's not the kind of stuff people would normally complain about, but I can complain about anything.
Stuff. The world is full of it. And one man has a complaint for it all. This is What Can't Adam Complain About?
Let's start at the top and we'll work our way down to the bottom. Andy, what can I complain about?
A steak dinner.
I'll tell you what my complaint about is with the steak dinners, because I've had this happen a few times. Every goddamn steakhouse has their own take on what medium versus medium rare is versus whatever is. And I say, you know, you go into Arnie Morton's and they're like, okay, so how do you want that steak? And you go, make it medium. And they go, our medium is more like a rare. Your medium?
Yeah.
Why do you need your own goddamn medium? Have medium be medium everywhere you go. That way, when I order a medium, I know what it is. There's too much of this overall. Imagine if gas stations worked this way. Hey, Jesus Christ, I just pumped 180 gallons into my SUV. I thought it only held 17. Oh, those are our gallons.
Yeah,
those are ours. We have a different take on the gallon. No, of course that wouldn't work. Have your medium be the same medium that's at the same place across the street, that's at the same place across the country. Make medium medium. I don't want your medium. I want my goddamn medium. And the other thing, too, that happens every once in a while is you go in, you order, and they're out of whatever it is you've ordered, but they go and come back and tell you.
Right.
They do that one where you go, they go, it's a filet mignon, or it's they do it this way with the, what is that great?
Porterhouse.
Porterhouse. What is the best cut of the beef?
I happen to like the porterhouse. It's a New York steak on one side, a filet mignon on the other.
All right. So you say, give me the porterhouse, and you think to yourself, all right. And as a male and as a carnivore, your head already starts getting in. You already start a sort of, there is a little pre-semen that starts leaking out of your urethra at that point. By the way, your meal should be free if, in fact, they ever do that to you, because it's the greatest mind F ever. That is the problem with the steakhouse.
Nice.
Thank you.
I'm going to have to really learn the nuances of working with you, because, like, the first thing I thought, dead cow. You got to kill a cow, which I don't care about. But somebody's got to do the dirty, greasy job. Nowhere even near there.
Right.
Interesting way you go to complain.
Thank you.
You're more than welcome.
Andrew?
Yeah, how do you complain about a New Year's Eve party, Adam?
I'll tell you the problem about New Year's Eve parties. They are high expectations and rarely meet those expectations. What you want is a party that you don't want to go to that turns out to be a great party, not a party that you think is going to be a shindig and then a slurring Dick Clark comes out there and forgets to say the number 10 on the way down to the countdown.
Happy New Year 2006.
Right.
And he did that in 03. Also, here's the part where I have trouble, and you guys seem just as comfortable in your own skin, or just as uncomfortable in your own skin, I should say, as I am. Tell me if you have trouble with this on New Year's. New Year's Eve parties are a party where you are forced to kiss, hug, congratulate people that you either don't know or barely know or were just introduced to, and it's a little bit weird. So there's that part where you and your wife or you and your significant other go to the party, the ball drops, you kiss your wife passionately, then there's that part where you run into Herb Goldstein, who you only met earlier that night, and you have to do that weird handshake and be sort of sincere. Everyone gets real earnest and real sincere, and then there are the women who you sort of know. Do you kiss them on the cheek? Yeah. Do you hug them? Do you give them a kiss? A lot of kissing and hugging. Weird. They're not sure what to do with you because they only met you, or they're just a friend of your wife who you don't really like, but you still have to do the huggy kissy thing. It's a weird time for, you know, it's the antithesis of the Super Bowl party. Super Bowl party, a lot of smacking on the back, a lot of fists being punched and things like that, but not a lot of weird kissing, hugging, not sure what to do with that person. Too intimate and always disappointing for me.
If I may add, just real quickly, if you don't mind, that's my least favorite part of church. Turning, meet someone you don't know.
Right.
Every Sunday.
Yes.
Oh, I'm Danny. Nice to meet you. I was like, and you've really got to be really friendly.
Mm-hmm.
I hate that part.
Plus, you probably think their internal monologue is saying what when they're meeting you?
To be honest, you're going to make me seem like an ego guy. But what they're thinking is, oh, wow, that's him. Is he going to hurt me? What's he doing in church?
Yeah. Hey, it's the guy finished off a fifth of Stoli and rode a skateboard through an intersection.
Isn't that the guy with the needle full of roids in his sack right there saying hi and God bless you?
Antonio. Topic, please.
Yeah. Recycling.
Recycling.
Oh, jeez.
I like the concept of recycling, and I feel like it's one of these things that, and as I've said before, now I'm going to stand up, Danny, because I'm getting angry.
Go ahead,
Danny. Please stand up.
All right, I'm
going to
stand, too.
I
don't want to be left out.
I feel like our society wants to be the kind of society that condones recycling, that our government and whoever's in charge decides that we want to live in a society where everyone recycles and where we talk about it very positively.
Right.
Hey, recycle. There's a PSA on every TV show and a billboard on every street and town saying, please recycle. Yet we don't accommodate it very well at all. I lived in an apartment, and God damn it, please everyone listen to the insanity of this. I've always lived in apartments. I now happily own a home, but for many years lived in an apartment. Now, I lived in the San Fernando Valley where Danny grew up in, and I grew up in it as well. He knows, as I know, they tore down houses and they put up apartment buildings.
Right.
In a place where two single-family houses used to be, there's now a 50-unit apartment building.
Sure.
So instead of four people per house, thus eight or nine people living in this footprint, there are now 125 people living in this footprint. Maybe more. Maybe it's 250, and thus the trash that is created by the 250 people times 200,000 apartment buildings. Is there any recycling that goes on in those apartment buildings? No. 12 years ago when I was living in one and I called the city and said, why don't we have a recycling bin? They said, we don't do that because they contract out for the garbage.
Right.
The city doesn't pick it up. And I said, okay, but still, you want people to recycle. And there's 125 people living where four people formerly lived, creating that much more garbage and thus recycling material. Don't you want to capitalize on that? And they said, we're looking looking into it. Well, I talked to Mike Lynch, the writer on the show, who moved into an apartment in North Hollywood where I was at 12 years later. He did this 3 months ago. He inquired about the recycling. No such luck. They're looking into a pilot program. You guys don't want us to recycle. If you did, you put a goddamn receptacle at work. You put a goddamn receptacle in an apartment building. These are Mexicans stacked as high as the eye can see who would love nothing more than to recycle those burnt out cans of the crazy soda that they consume that I'm not interested in.
Have an eye those.
Horchata.
Seems to me I'm not interested in rice-based beverages, seems but either way, not interested in jicama-flavored soda that has a little bit of cinnamon in it. Either way, they would be more than happy to recycle, but yet they don't. Because they must then be all put into a Glad bag and dragged down to Pacoima and recycled. So, are you guys interested in recycling? No, clearly you're not. Because if you were, you would accommodate people who wanted to recycle. Are you interested in looking like you want to recycle? Yes. And that's the problem with this government overall. There's the part where they want to look like they're interested in things, but not where they actually want to get off the arse and do something right about it. And that's my problem with recycling.
I know something about that. I wish to look healthy. Mm-hmm. I wish people to look at me and go, wow, that guy's fit.
Mm-hmm.
Until I open my voice and they go, oh, he smokes 3 packs a day and chest does all sorts of copious chemicals. I just want the appearance of fitness. I don't want to actually do the effort.
You are the embodiment of the recycling
program. Of the recycling.
Yes. All right, one more. Let's see. Parker?
Yeah.
What can I complain about? Oh,
you
wait a
minute.
Complain. Hold on. Where's my Brad hammer? Thank you.
Oh, okay. You cannot complain about Hawaii.
Well, I can because I was thrown off the air in Hawaii for calling them stupid.
What?
Yes. We used to be on the air in Hawaii, not this show, but Loveline was. And I was saying a very simple people with large calves, but not the smartest folks in the world. And somebody started arguing with me. And I said, well, listen, everyone, close your eyes and think about all the great inventions that have come out of Hawaii. All right. The great medicines, all the great award-winning doctors. Think about everything that's come out of Hawaii. And then everyone got pissed off. And then I got thrown off in Hawaii and was not welcome back to Hawaii. By the way, and my other beef with it is, and look, you don't have to be smart when you're living in Hawaii. You're actually smarter than everyone because you're living in Hawaii.
The Hawaii
yes,
lifestyle,
you're staring at the beautiful Pacific Ocean, hearing Don Ho clear a bong load every morning. That's what your life is. So in a way, maybe not the IQ to rub. Maybe you don't have the brain cells to rub together, although your calves rub together when you walk. They're that
big.
But I'll tell you one thing. I'll tell you who you don't want pissed off at you, Hawaiians. A, you want to go. See, you don't mind the Crips or the Bloods being pissed off at you because you don't want a vacation at South Central.
Right, there's
but
no reason to go to Compton.
You would like to shoot a little golf in Maui, and now it's impossible because the island wants to lynch the ace man. Well, I'll tell you something else about Hawaii, and I'll tell you the one thing that pisses me off about the island chain. They have Hawaii, and they have Kauai.
Right.
Yes.
Do we really need an island that sounds that close to the big island right next to it? You guys couldn't do better than Kauai. You already have a Hawaii. Now there's a Kauai. Make it something else.
Well,
you know what I'm saying?
I hate things that replace a letter, like crazy cars spelled with K's.
Yes.
As a car dealer, I hate that.
I hate that, too.
You don't need Kauai.
I hate that, too, unless it's cats with a Z. How many millions of times has this happened, though, where somebody said, pick me up at the airport in Kauai. And the one guy drove out to the airport in Hawaii, and the other guy landed in Kauai. It is confusing. Listen, I don't know which one of you is going to have to change your name. I'll bet it's Kauai, but let's call it something else.
Right.
Bonaducci Berg.
I like it. All right. I like it. And you didn't even mention Spam Sushi.
Oh.
Spam Sushi, the number one consumer of Spam is Hawaii, and they make Spam Sushi.
Well.
So I have to go with Adam on this.
Maybe adding credence to my intellect argument
I
made moments earlier. I must say that while vacationing in Hawaii some years back and shooting golf with the great Jimmy Kimmel, he offended our caddy when he explained to me that the reason the Hawaiians loved Spam is because they're former cannibals. animals and that it tastes of human flesh.
What?
And when he naively asked our caddy this, it got the heavyset man very upset. Or woman, I couldn't tell. Very upset.
Just because he was accusing his people of cannibalism.
I was in Jamaica. We were doing a radio station promo in Jamaica. And I was with my big, big, big boss came out. He wanted to do it like the president of a major company. And he was wasted. And we were going out on a scuba dive. And we're just about to dive. And we're going to go over 100 feet, which is a big wreck dive. We're going to go down to a wreck at 115 feet. And he's all wasted. And he looks at the captain and he goes, "Hey, you look like seal." And then he looked around the boat and he goes, "Hey, all you bastards look like seal." And yeah. I went, "I'm not diving with him to 100 feet now. Not a chance."
Yes, it'll be like open water.
You think maybe they were offended a little bit? "All you guys look like seal."
And what year was this?
This was 10 years ago.
No.
You mean the Heidi Klum seal?
Yeah, that seal. Yeah,
that seal.
You didn't need to don a mask and fins to find a wreck back then, Danny. All you need to do is find a mirror at the hotel. Okay. All right.
What can't Adam complain about?
All right. Well, the first one of the year.
Very nice.
Thank you. We will take ourselves a quick break. Perez Hilton, gossip queen, will tell us all that's going on in the world of celebrity and gossip after this on the Adam Carolla Show.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show. There's Hollywood gossip.
Right for silence.
Worst is still to come.
And then there's Perez Hilton.
Well, tell us what you know about Britney and KFed.
There is a sex tape, and Us Weekly reported it.
Check out PerezHilton.com. Perez Hilton on the Adam Carolla Show.
That's right. Also, for those of you just tuning in, Danny Bonaducci is here, and he's here to stay. Dave Damashek, along with Jimmy Brusca, along with Big Tad, did not make it past the new year. It is regrettable. They're friends. I'm still in contact with all of them, except for Brusca and Big Tad. No, I'm still,
it's been like a day, man.
Still in contact and still friends with everybody, but it is out with Dave, in with Danny. And like I said, whatever feelings I have about it, and overall, this is a good way to go in life. Instead of lamenting things and dragging your feet and taking a nice whiz on what you have left, I'd rather embrace it. And I think it'll work with Danny Bonaducci and Teresa Strasser.
Yes, I survived either. The recent carnage.
It beats the whiz part, certainly.
That's right.
I'm happy about that.
So that is the show, and we hope you enjoy. Perez Hilton.
I'm glad I made the cut, too.
Hey, Perez.
Good to speak to you. The queen of the gossip scene, Perez Hilton, PerezHilton.com. What do you have for us new in 07?
This I haven't even put up on my website yet because there was a new development from the last thing that I posted. News broke in England that Kate Moss got married in Thailand to her boyfriend, that crazy drugged out rock and roll dude Pete Doherty.
Yeah.
Well, now the publicist is saying that they did not get married. And I'm very sad because I was looking forward to that divorce, you know, in 2 months.
Yeah, sure.
Yes, all of us who are fans of divorce lament that. He is one of these guys, if people haven't seen him, he's the guy who sort of spits at the camera and does a wheelbarrow full of coke and is spindly and is disheveled and is in a band. He's one of these guys when, you know, there's the guys we're okay with, like, look, when The Rock gets a hot chick, well, so be it. He's 6'5", and he's a great-looking guy, and he's playing ball at Miami. When the spindly, drugged-out, drug-addled rock and roll guy gets the super hot, smoking blonde, it pisses us off. He is one of these guys that other guys can't stand, the fact that he gets much better tail than we do.
But it's the girls dig jerks syndrome. She just takes it a step farther and digs the guy that looks disgusting as well as behaves badly.
That's right.
Right.
He blew a snot rocket into her salad on the first date, I hear, and it was love.
It was love at first sight.
All right, what else do we got, Perez?
Yeah,
this is exciting news. So I was on MTV for their New Year's Eve celebration.
Mm-hmm.
And then afterwards, I went to this party that I co-hosted with Christina Aguilera.
Mm-hmm.
And whom should show up at my party?
Whom?
John Mayer and Jessica Simpson.
Ah, are they together or what?
Not only are they together, they were like making out in public and like hardcore.
Now, last month or so, wasn't he saying publicly that she only dated him to give herself some legitimacy as a performer?
And the same could be said with him. You know, his album came out the week that all those rumors were floating around. You know, it helped them both, and it probably hurt them both.
Mm-hmm.
But they seem to be, you know, working their way through the hurt, and there's a lot of love there.
How did John Mayer look? Because I saw a picture of him recently. He looked a little bloated.
He looked good. He even sang me a song. It was so surreal.
What song?
That you get away homo song he sings when you get around him?
Well, we were like hanging out. It's crazy. And then he like all of a sudden burst into song and sang me his new single, Gravity.
Wow.
I had written something on my website on Sunday about this new up-and-coming musician called Matt White, and I said that he's going to take the crown from John Mayer as the male singer-songwriter of 2007. And John Mayer's like, ain't nobody taking my crown. I thought that was kind of funny.
You know, so back in the bad old days, I want you to know, if I was at a party and some like kind of waspy little guy whipped out a guitar and started to play, I would just kick his ass right there.
Danny had a little song called Ode to El Caban.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pull that guitar out right over the top of the head.
Remember the John Belushi in whatever that movie was, Frat House or whatever, Animal House?
Yes.
And if I had a cherry and the guy just goes out and beats the bejesus out of the guitar, that's me.
Well, Perez, do you happen to, have you gotten any hot tips about Danny Bonaducci?
Do I what?
Have you ever gotten tips about Danny Bonaducci in the last couple of years?
Tips, well, should I go there?
Yeah, sure.
All right. Not even a tip, something I saw firsthand.
Ooh.
Oh, yes.
Well, wait, what year?
Last month.
Okay, fine.
Sweet.
I'm ready last month.
I was just fishing. I didn't think I'd get anything.
Oh, I knew you'd get something.
I saw it firsthand. So, as you know, I work out of the Coffee Bean and Tea Leaf on Sunset and Fairfax every day.
I go there all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I know. And I saw Danny Bonaducci there in early December, and he, like, fell asleep. Like, outside, like, with his legs up on the table and, like, snoring. I'm like, oh, my God, what's going on? Why is he, like, hardcore sleeping outside of the Coffee Bean?
Right. He's like, why is this guy sleeping in my office? And then the guy who worked at the Coffee Bean was like, why are you calling my place of work your goddamn office? There's a whole chain.
You know, I don't particularly remember the incident, but I can see nodding off at the Coffee Bean on Sunset. No problem. I go there all the time.
You got the Royd Latte. Yeah,
you'd have to jump up the ladder of scandals so far to have me worried about me sleeping in a Coffee Bean.
Hey, Perez.
Yeah, I didn't know it.
Perez, how about an office, though, for you, other than...
Maybe. That'll be my New Year's resolution. Actually, no. My New Year's resolution is to talk less about Lindsay Lohan.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe get an office.
Well, can you talk about Britney? Because we were talking about sleeping, and there's the rumor that she was sleeping at the New Year's Eve party, or was she passed out?
Well, I'm inclined to believe that she passed out, but of course...
She's sleeping like Gerald Ford is sleeping.
right
now.
The spin is that she was tired, and she
tired
was
tired of
not
passing out.
Tired of drinking a lot.
Right.
Tired of the Coffee Bean.
Tired of mixing drugs and alcohol.
You know, she had a busy weekend. She was in Scottsdale, Arizona, a story I broke exclusively on PerezHilton.com. And Friday night, she was out clubbing. She spent some quality time with Matt Leinart, the football player. Saturday night, she was out clubbing again. And then Sunday, apparently, she took a booze cruise up to Vegas. Like, she got one of those buses for all her friends.
Mm-hmm.
And was drinking the whole way to Las Vegas.
Wow. And is she, I don't know, do you think she's going to lose her kids, or do you think that KFED is going to gain control of them, or custody, I should say, of them, or anything like that? How much is he going to get? What's going on with that divorce?
Well, I think he makes a strong point for at least shared custody. Mm-hmm. You know, he's even dressing better. I saw him in Miami when I was down there for the holidays, and he was wearing, like, suits.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, this is not the wife beater and gold chain Kevin Federline I'm used to.
Right, so he's pulling it together.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. If I take out a newspaper clipping of every time I've been going into court, I'm wearing a suit and tie. All it means is he wants something.
You know what would be surreal if you wore one of those Partridge Family suits, like the burgundy crushed velvet with the big frilly kind of blousey thing with the cuffs hanging out, tucked over the thing?
To court.
That would be awesome. I would love to see a 47-year-old Danny Bonaducci wearing the crushed velvet into court.
That's one of my favorite things in the whole world. If people come and say, oh my God, Danny Partridge, I'm 47. For God's sake.
I would show leniency if you showed up in that crushed burgundy velvet outfit.
I will keep that in mind, and I will throw your name out to the judge.
Speaking of throwing out Perez Hilton. Yes. You weren't around, but my father... One of his claims to fame, first, is he taught Danny Bonaducci at a school for troubled children, and then second is Adam Carolla's my son. But first is, he does bring up to me that, as a matter of fact, when Bonaducci was on the show a few months back, I spoke to my dad, and he said, hey, I heard Bonaducci was on the show, and the first thing I said was, who told you Bonaducci was on the show? Because I know that old F doesn't listen himself. And he said, stepmom told me. And I said, fine. Thank you for your candor. But did you bring up the fact that I taught in Agora Hills at a school for
Harmony Center.
That's where you went?
That's where I went that year. I went to Area E Alternative School once they finally kicked me out of the entire Los Angeles school district.
Eventually, he had to go to school underground. In the center.
Literally, it was in the middle of a mountain forest, and like we got to pet horses and wear helmets.
You had to go to Cheyenne Mountain.
Well, over at the Harmony NORAD School, do you remember Mr. Carolla teaching you?
You know what? I don't offhand, but I don't remember a great deal about those years.
Were you 12, 13, 14?
I was after Partridge, so I was probably 15.
Well, I remember a 40-something-year-old Jim Carolla saying that Danny Bonaducci, hey, guess who just shot me the stink eye today at work? The guy used to play the bass in the Partridge Family.
You know my thing? Because they weren't just troubled because this was a bad school. Like, Area E Alternative was just like, if you shot people, that's where you went. Area E was for, like, if you shot people, but if you also had medical problems or mental problems or things like that or were in a wheelchair. Mm. And me and this other guy, I'll use this for named Bill, we used to switch all their medications and then watch what they do. And it'd be really weird if you like watch a guy that's got like schizophrenia take just straight Ritalin.
Right.
All his personalities would come out a lot faster. And it was so fun to eat lunch with that guy.
At a certain point when a school becomes more prison than it is a school, do we need to send the kids there anymore? How much actual learning is going on? Perez, I know you can answer that, but Perez, I'm sorry for stealing your thunder with my little Bonaducci Carolla story there going back to 1976.
Insightful.
Yes. Do you have a, thank you. Do you have anything to send us out with? A bomb to drop before we go to break?
A bomb to drop? You know.
Who's gay beside you?
Queen Latifah, who's breaking up with her girlfriend. I think we talked about that already.
I think I could turn her around, by the way.
I don't think I ever mentioned Andy Dick on your show before, but he's major gay.
Is he? I thought he was boffo bi.
I think he's more gay than bi.
No, he's a screaming mo. Mm-hmm. And every now and again, he sleeps with a girl to change up his reputation a little bit. But he's, in my opinion, 100% mo.
Well, if you have sex with one guy for every 10 chicks you have sex with, that still makes you 80% gay in my homophobic book.
If you have sex with one guy, period, you're gay.
That's the way you go.
Unless you're in jail.
Oh, in which case.
There's an exception?
In that case, if you're the pitcher, you're still cool.
How about lockdown at E Academy?
Yeah, but your dad was easy on me.
Well, he's a Carolla. Bonaducci's last word to my dad was, are you in? My dad's last words, I'm done. All right. Perez.
Yes.
God love you.
God love you, Perez. Next time I'm there, introduce yourself. I'm there all the time.
Yeah, wake Danny up and say hi next time you're at your office.
I'll make sure to do that.
Perez Hilton, everyone. PerezHilton.com is where you go. Now, continuing, we need to take a break. I was sitting around last night thinking about all the things I could do without in 07. You know, we do this thing where they do the retrospective at the end of 06. Oh, here's all the people we lost. Here's all the farewells and goodbyes, too. I'd like to give some goodbyes to things I've had an ass full of in 06 and before that I don't need to see again in 07. And I'd like to hear from you, 866-901-ADAM. Maybe it's a celebrity. That's pretty easy. I mean, people know I could go a year without hearing anything from Nicole Richie,
right,
for instance, or Paris Hilton, like, or perhaps.
Something sad like James Brown has passed away and the you know, Godfather of Soul is dead and gone, and we're sorry about that. It's something that's still with us, but we'd be happy to say goodbye to.
I don't need to say goodbye forever. I could take a year off. This is like a food that I got burnt out on, that a restaurant that I fell in love with, ate too much at, and decided I needed to take a break from. 866-901-ADAM. I'll give you mine. Danny's got his. Teresa has hers. Or at least they have 5 minutes to figure them out.
I got mine.
I'll give you one example, for instance. And this is just to open your minds a little. Again, it doesn't have to be a celebrity. I've had an ass full of experts. I've had an ass full of experts talking about Iraq that couldn't tell me anything about an exit strategy or the difference between a Shiite and a Sunni. These so-called experts. How about the experts that take a look at the film? These are body language experts,
right,
so-called body language experts, to figure out if Mel Gibson was lying when he said he was sorry about what he said about the Jews during the Diane Sawyer interview. These experts, the ones that whisper to your cat, the ones that are going to tell you how to lose weight, but you never have to work out, eat whatever you want. I've had an ass full of so-called experts, and it seemed like when I was growing up, you had to be an expert to call yourself an expert, right, at whatever it was. Now we're living in a day when everyone has a black belt, and everyone's an expert at psychology and pets, and everyone's a dietitian, and everyone's an expert at body language, and everyone's an expert at anything, and yet when they put the experts on TV, I get no information out of them at all. It always seems like a broad who needs a good screwing, who's hovering somewhere between menopause and where in high school, who looks, who has the crazed eyes and too much junk on her hair, who I don't want to listen to and doesn't seem to be an expert on anything. I've had an ass full of experts. All right, that is one of mine. We'll take a
all
quick
right,
break.
I got it.
Us yours, and we'll do it next on the Adam Carolla Show.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show. 2006 is officially over. So who or what would you like to leave there and never hear again in 2007? Call 866-901-ADAM. It's the Adam Carolla Show.
Yeah, I was watching CNN this morning, and they were giving me an update on the body count over in Iraq. I mean, it is a person-for-person body count. They're literally like one U.S. soldier died over the weekend, so that brings the grand total. They check the tote board, like it's a telethon, it's like 3,031 now. Look, it's depressing enough. I understand it's a war. People are going to die. 3,000 isn't as much as 400,000 in World War II or 58,000 in Vietnam or whatever else died in whatever other conflict. Oh, it's always sad. It's always tragic. Don't need to hear any more Iraq debate unless somebody has a plan other than we need to get out of there. It's a mess. We should have never been there in the first place. Give me an idea or shut the F up.
Right.
I'm tired of people's... You know, I'm tired of politicians campaigning on, hey, man, Iraq's a disaster. We need to get out of there. When then everyone agrees we can't just pull up and get out of there because the place would spin off into the Hatfields and the McCoys.
Right. Instead of the Hatfields and McCoys hating each other, they'll both hate us.
Right.
You know, we need to do something about that.
Whatever it is, in general, overall, no piping up unless you got a plan. We're in a station wagon. We're going down the highway. We're all lost. Unless you know how to get to grandma's house, shut your pie hole.
Right.
I don't want anyone raising their hand going, you know, we're lost. You know, I don't like the direction this minivan is heading. Yes, we understand that. It's a horrible situation. The body count piles up every day. Please tell us if you have a plan. If not, shut up.
I'll be with you on also comparisons. because I happened to hear this morning that we have now been involved in the Iraq war exactly 72 days longer than we were in World War II.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, it's like, well, thanks for that. I needed to know that.
Right. Yeah. Again,
what possible service does that do me?
It does nothing, and obviously it was a totally different time and a totally different conflict, and it really is not germane at all. But yet, people, I've decided that there are too many TV channels and too many news outlets, thus too much information we don't actually need, and we need to hear stories, or they need to manufacture stories that aren't actual stories. So I don't want to hear any more about Iraq this year. I don't want to hear any more about what the Grey's Anatomy cast is up to before they were stars.
Yeah.
I don't want any more to do with the Grey's Anatomy cast.
I don't want to hear one thing about Dr. McDreamy.
Yeah,
no,
McSteamy.
Or McSteamy.
We're all McOver it.
Watch the show. Enjoy it if you will, but we don't need a show about a show.
Right.
I don't need five entertainment shows about the making of Grey's Anatomy. I'll watch on Sunday night.
Thursday night.
If I'm interested. If not, I don't need Grey's Anatomy talk in the middle of my other TV show.
Right, because Dr. McDreamy is fighting with Dr. McHomo, and it's a whole thing.
Right. Dr. McBlackie and Dr. McHomo are fighting
it out completely.
So, right. There's Dr. McHomophobe, and he got in a fight with
Dr. McHomo? Yes. Okay, yes. Good to know. You know what I can do without, as long as we're playing?
Yes.
I can do without the combination of celebrity names that are dating.
Oh, really?
Angelina.
Right.
Aniston.
Could not be more over that.
Yes.
And Von Aniston didn't even work. Von Aniston sucked.
So it would be nice if we just left our wives, though. It'd be like Adam Duchiberg.
What is Gretchen? How do you get Gretchen in there anyway?
Gretchen Duchy.
Gretchen Duchy.
Done and done.
Gretchen Duchy sounds like if you've had just way too much to drink. Oh, I got no Gretchen Duchy right now.
Like a kind of polka.
I have a short list of celebrities I've had an ass full of. Scarlett Johansson does not need to make 11 movies a year. She can make 4. I'll be fine with that. Scarlett Johansson this and Scarlett Johansson that. She's like 19 and a half. Mm-hmm. Please. I mean, she's hot. I dig her and everything, but I don't need to see every third movie starring Dakota Fanning or Scarlett Johansson. Are there other actresses under the age of 14 that can work other than Dakota Fanning?
Did you know that Entertainment Weekly, the Bible of what's real in show business, the most powerful woman in show business right now is Dakota Fanning?
What?
Yeah.
She doesn't even have her period.
She can green light. Well, that's cool. She can green light a picture faster than any other woman. Dakota Fanning.
I can't green light a pamphlet and that girl doesn't even have her period yet. I'm upset.
I'm tired of Fergie. I'm tired
of... Fergalicious? She calls herself that.
I know.
It's so vain.
She's 35, and she's from Hacienda Heights, and she's spelling her name out. Please, everyone, act your age. And stop, look, all this, I'm bringing sexy back and Fergalicious. I've had an impacted ass full of all this crap.
Yeah.
And by the way, here's what I would like. I would like intelligent people to stop nodding their head at crap because they don't want to be called old.
Right, okay.
That's what's going on. What it is we're living in Hollywood, and getting old is the worst thing that can happen for anyone's career.
If you have your choice, if you're an entertainer of any kind in Hollywood, and you have your choice between getting cancer or getting old, go with cancer.
So
you'll keep working.
People have to say they like Fergalicious, like Jack Silver, for example, has to have Nelly Furtado on the ringtone because it keeps him young.
We don't want to do anything that makes somebody turn to you and go, you just don't appreciate that because you're old. No, I don't appreciate it because it sucks.
Okay, if we're talking about happening to this specific song, full-blown retard song.
Yes.
This is just a retard song of the world. My lady lumps. My humps,
nothing.
My bumps, my lumps.
Yes. Singing about being Fergalicious.
No.
Please.
It's
spelling
so
your name out. I know.
Plus, I think there should be some proof offered. Are you, in fact, Fergalicious?
Right.
And here's the deal, too. This song sucks, and so does I'm Bringing Sexy Back, for that matter, too. Yes, Pops Carolla is going to speak out on this and go way out on a limb and say these songs suck, and there's better versions of these that were made, 20 years ago. Why do we need to hear this?
You don't have to be Pops Carolla to think this song and Sexy Back sucks. I happen to think that Fergie at times is very talented, and that Justin Timberlake is super talented.
He's a great dancer.
It's just a lame-ass song.
Yes.
When I was your age, television was called books.
The great Peter Falk.
From The Princess Bride.
I don't need any more Matt McConaughey taking a shirt off and pretending to be a regular guy and shucks kind of thing. I've had an ass full of Matt McConaughey.
Okay, you know who's had an ass full of Matthew McConaughey is Lance Armstrong. That's who's had an ass full of Matthew.
Oh, me. Really?
Can I throw on the heap of people we've had an ass full? Nancy Grace.
Yes.
I think I've had it with her.
Really? Done with her? You know when I became done with her? When, in my opinion, that story broke about that lady and her son was kidnapped and Nancy pegged her, so she blew her brains out.
Yes.
And then everybody felt really bad and like, what do we do about Nancy now? And then Nancy built her career on it and kept doing the dead lady story every night.
She on Fox News? Or
she's on right now after Glenn Beck.
Yeah.
On Fox. Yeah.
Is she on C?
I don't know.
C? Court
well, she
TV,
is a C, but I'm not sure if she's on one. Tyra Banks, speaking of C's. Oh, enough of that and enough. And this slides into the next one, into the chicks donning the fat suits for the big expose. Vanessa Minnillo and Tyra Banks and stuff. Yeah, I'm going to go out. I'm going to style my hair like a crazy homeless woman. I'm going to put a bunch of tree bark where my teeth used to be. And then I'll put on big, thick Coke bottle glasses. And I'll put on a big frumpy sweatsuit. And I'll don the 400-pound gut that I strap on. And I'll see if I can't get into the trendy Tribeca clubs.
Then I'll cry when they won't let me in because it hurts.
It hurts when you're smoking hot. See,
but that I would put a big flaw in that theory. With the tree bark for teeth, the bad teeth would turn me right off.
Yes.
But a 400-pound chick is still okay with me.
You don't mind that?
No, not at all.
I like you already.
Well, here's the thing.
I'm down with that completely. I gotta move stuff. It's kind of funny.
The thing about that is, and their self-esteem is so low. That it's like the third input, first date, into the salad. Yeah.
That's the math. Third input, first date.
That's right.
Unless they make themselves mean. Because I've noticed this with a lot of big women, because I happen to be a fan. My wife is a stick. A 40-year-old woman who's had 2 children, size 0. Mm-hmm. I don't know how she does it. I work out day and night. She does nothing. I resent the
crap.
Same
with Adam's wife. She's just
nasty. She's not fair. It's just not fair. But I will tell you that a big girl... Mm-hmm. That, I mean, like a 200-pounder can make herself so mean that you don't like her because she's mean, not because she's fat. That's what she does to protect herself.
Right.
She makes you hate her because she's angry, not because she's fat.
Well, the flaw with
the drag, because I want to have sex with the fat girl.
The flaw with the fat suit experiment is most fat women will overcompensate by having nicer, more finely manicured hair, by applying their makeup a little, whatever, by wearing jewelry and things like that. They overcompensate for their big ass by making their hair look like it came off a runway in Milan. They take the woman, put her in the fat suit, and then give her the freaked out, frizzy, nut woman, bag lady hairdo, and then something with braces or something, big false teeth. By the way, do you have to fatten up your teeth and gums as well? So thus, when this person then approaches us asking for directions in Central Park, because we're human beings, and we have this little part of our brain that's 2 million years old that makes us always look out for crazy or trouble, there's a part of your brain that is there just to avoid being stabbed by crazy people with pencils.
Right.
There's a part of your brain that says, this person may try to shove something into my side when I reach around to look to answer my cell phone. I will get away from this person. That's what these people look like. It's not the fat that we're responding to. It's the crazy, getting away from.
There's a book called The Gift of Fear.
That's my favorite book, Gavin DeBecker.
Yeah, that was absolutely about that. It was like, you look at this person, and they say, if you the elevator door opens and there's a guy in there and you think to yourself, I shouldn't get in there.
Right, don't
and
get
then
in.
You think, how rude is that that I'm not getting in the elevator with this guy?
Right.
You were right to not get in. Don't get in. Trust your fear.
Right. Your brain is synergizing all kinds of information unconsciously. So if you feel fear, you should stay out of that elevator.
Right. I agree with you completely.
It's why when we beg everyone not to profile, it's impossible. It's like asking you not to salivate. It's impossible. Right. All you do is profile. That's all you do. When you walk down the street, you have to decide, should I pet this dog? Is he wagging his tail? Is it a breed that's friendly? Or is the dog's fur standing up, and is it a Rottweiler? That's all you do. That's what's built into you. That's how you survive. One thing I will say we need to get on before we lose in 07. I know this sounds like a twist, all the stuff I want to get rid of in 07. This one is one that I feel is on the cusp of going away if we don't pick it up. It was hot about 2-3 years ago, but it will be gone. Believe me, we will miss it sorely if we don't bring it back in 07. That's people responding this way. This is a response. It's not a person. Okay. This is not a destination. You know when you go like, Teresa, you just say, it's raining outside.
It's raining outside.
Yeah, it is. You know that one? Oh. That one will be gone if we don't get on it. It's fading fast.
Do you want that back?
I'd like to have one more year of it.
You really would?
Yes, he does.
I missed it. I didn't think I would miss
anything.
It. In 05, I didn't think I would miss it. I had an asphalt event. 06, it dropped off, and the silence was deafening.
Yeah. Yes, it was.
Yeah, it was.
You know what I could do without? It's not that I mind people's Blackberries. I don't own one, but I'm tired of people complaining about their Crackberry and how they can't stop using it.
Ah, I see. Calling it the Crackberry.
Yeah,
Crackberry.
It's annoying.
And people feverishly working away at that everywhere you are. There's no place you can be in public without someone's face just sort of buried in a device.
I see.
Danny's guilty of this.
No, I'm not. I mean, I do have one. My phone does text, and I get text messages, and I return them, but at a normal rate. But if I go somewhere and they say, turn off your phones and your ringers, and people believe, mostly this is at the Arclight Cinema, which is by my house, that does not apply to texting, which lights up a big green screen that lights up your face and the face of the guy next to you in this horrible green, that's okay. I'm the guy that actually mentions that.
Interesting.
I'm the guy that leans forward and says, hey, that's so uncool and really bothering me.
I was at the Arclight yesterday, by the way. Watch.
It does, except for that little speech they give you first, which is weird.
When the guy comes out, he's like, hi, I'm Matt. I'll be your executive in charge of popcorn.
We'll be here for the first few minutes to make sure the sound is all right. Yeah, they do a whole thing.
You might have seen me as a waiter on 2 1/2 Men. I'm going
to
make it.
I'm trying to think of what the percentage is in my life of guys making the preamble speech that I didn't need. I think I've heard 700,000. Okay, people, my name is Neil. I'll be your... I think I've heard several hundred thousand of those in my life and probably only needed two.
Yeah, I would say that's fair. I can't think of the two you actually needed.
I'm just going out on a limb and thinking maybe there was two that I needed. But whenever anyone announces their name and then I'll be your, I tune out.
I'm tuning out
immediately.
My only thing is
prostitute. Right. Unless it's Cheryl followed by prostitute.
And I'll be your prostitute. And then,
turn off your BlackBerry during our session.
You know what? They don't care. You can take calls. They don't mind at all. Really. I swear, there are very few rules. The thing that really, really, really bothers me is that when you get somebody who tells you what they're going to do and then they don't do it. If they make a big production about what they're going to do to make your day easier and then don't do it. It's just they gave the speech.
Right.
At some point, like, I've never had anything go wrong at the Arc. Like, and this may surprise you, but I cannot bear to hurt someone's feelings.
Really?
If I'm mad at them and I punch them in the nose, I'm fine with that. But if I make a joke on the radio and somebody calls up and says, that really hurt me, I will apologize immediately. I'm not that kind of guy at all that stands by my right to say whatever I want.
FYI, if you broke my nose, my feelings would be hurt.
Okay, cut that out.
So I'm covered.
I went to the Arclight one time, and it was the middle of the day, and I was seeing some Thai movie that nobody was going to. And the guy goes, where would you like to sit?
Yes.
And I said, inside. And he said, well, we have assigned seating. And I said, dude, it's Tuesday afternoon, and I'm seeing a subtitled film. Are you telling me it's going to be so full that I need to sit in an assigned seat? And he just went on about that's what we do here. So I said, just give me a ticket, because I'll sit wherever I want. So you pick my chair, and then I'll go sit wherever I want. It took me 2 days of going back there, both days in a row, till I found him and apologized sincerely to him. And he looked at me like I was a nut. He barely remembered it, like it was no big deal.
This is my biggest beef with sobriety. Once everyone gets sober, then they apologize.
No, I was a big apologizer drunk.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because I hacksaw your house down.
Yeah, you had to.
More to apologize for.
No, I would do like, somebody gave me a chainsaw 1 year. And I thought that was the funniest thing in the world.
Why not just get a monkey a starter's pistol?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, why get Danny Bonaducci a chainsaw?
See, I think it was a gag gift that they thought my wife would immediately take away from me. Like, ha ha, let's give Danny a chainsaw. That's a bad idea. Ha ha. And then I immediately just started every fight. I divided community property. Every single fight. And once I got down to a very expensive couch, that's when
thank God before the shared custody of the children.
Yeah,
it came.
Well, half of the boy you want.
My kids aren't stupid. They hear the saga and they run.
I want his torso every other weekend. All right, Tony.
Yes.
You've been waiting for 20 minutes to say you can do without an 07 who?
I got a big black girl butt full of Rosie O'Donnell's fat face.
Yeah.
I am gay.
I've probably had enough. Listen, everyone, she's controversial and brassy. We get it.
Yeah,
we understand.
We get it. Exactly.
I think she's good on The View. But each time, I mean, if Barbara Walters makes a joke about the gays or the Asians or the whoever's, then go ahead and print that up. That's news. If Rosie O'Donnell says something, if a 400-pound lesbian who speaks her mind every second of the day says something controversial about a group, I would say that's no longer news.
Is that what she did? Are you talking specifically about what she did, what she believed to be a Chinese accent?
She was doing the Ching Chong joke, which we learned the hard way.
Oh, my God.
Is the N-word to our Asian brothers, and everyone needed her to apologize. Please don't ask her to apologize. I can do with Rosie in 07. What I can do without is all the controversy. She said something about Trump. She said something about Asians.
She said that Trump was a pimp.
Right.
And what I get from that is Trump gave a break to a hot chick. He's not a pimp. He's a guy.
Yes.
Yeah. That's it. Yes. Give a break to the hot chick.
She's clearly bitter. Brian? Or Byron, I should say. And do we need both?
Yeah.
And this is the problem with the Bryans. They're spelled with the Y.
Yeah.
They all go down in my head as a Byron when I look on the thing.
And Byron?
Yeah, Danny.
Please do not be mad at me when I say this. It's just a personal thing. When I see a man's first name with a Y in the first name in the early part of it, like in the middle before the end, I always think gay.
Danny, have you met our sound guy, Brian, with a Y?
Well, at least...
You spell your name Brian with a Y?
Yes, he does.
You can't say Byron without saying bye first.
This is damn exciting stuff.
Right there in the name.
That's true. Okay. Well, now that I've got that on my chest, what can we do for you?
I've had an assful of celebrities and their babies, especially the adopted ones. How many African children does Madonna need?
Dude, is there ever going to be an African child left in Africa?
No. They're now having to import children in there. I don't, you know, well, I have a few thoughts on this. One is, who cares? If Madonna wants to take some guy who's going to be, working, tilling the soil his whole life, or some chick who's going to be sold into prostitution back to her manor in England and raise them as her own, so be it. Right. I don't care. But the idea that we have to travel abroad, and here's, I think, what leaves a bad taste in everyone's mouth. There are plenty of kids to adopt here, and there's plenty of kids to adopt. By the way, Mexico is just a few hundred miles away. Go over there and adopt some kids.
And you don't really have to adopt them. You can just kind of grab them.
Right.
Right. Wait, can I say, though, in defense of adoption, think about it as a human invention. It's one of the best inventions we've come up with.
It's solid. It's just the idea that it turns into publicity and photo op and everything for the celebrities, the part that leaves a bad taste, I think, in most people's mouth. On that note as well,
celebrity couples having children shouldn't be as big a news as it is. You're heterosexual. You've been married for 5 years. You're both in your early 30s. And yes, eventually you crap out a kid.
Right.
How big a story can that really be?
Well, I mean, there's a couple of things. One is adoption being the best invention of humankind. So is peanut butter and jelly mixed in the same jar. Remember that?
Cougar.
Yeah. That was bitch.
Yeah.
That
Goober,
was good.
What's that called?
Cougar.
Like, yeah, Goober. It's like adoption and then that.
Yeah.
That was really cool.
That's right.
But the other thing, what I think that celebrities who get married and they're in their 30s and the woman is a size zero or a size two, she's a beautiful movie star, and she's going to adopt, but she's going to adopt a Lily White baby that looks just like her. I think she should have to admit publicly, I don't want to ruin my figure.
Right.
That's why I'm adopting this
That's
baby.
Why they
Not
don't.
Humanitarian reasons. I just don't want to ruin my figure yet.
Yes. And my husband is gay, and I'm a beard, and he cannot achieve an erection while I'm present.
All right. That was an awesome little pile on there. We just killed, like, every couple I know.
That was me talking, by the way. That was nothing to do with your scenario. We need to take a break. Speaking of dating woes, we'll hear our own Teresa Strasser. We had her first MySpace date.
No.
Yeah. MySpace, good name for Teresa's vagina, by the way, as long as we're on that topic. You'll fill us in on this date?
Another way of putting that. You fill us in your MySpace?
Yes. You went out how long ago?
About 3 days.
3 days ago. You went out on a date with a guy you met via MySpace.
Yes. I had to have a MySpace page because all of my fan needed to find me.
Mm-hmm.
And, then a guy asked me out, and I said, why not? And I got halfway to Vegas and almost got married.
Really?
Yes.
All right. Well, we'll hear the...
I'm hoping there's more to that story. He just killed us.
There's more.
We'll hear the rest of that story when we come back on the Adam Carolla Show.
And now, Alcoa presents Definitely Not a Jew on the Adam Carolla Show. Dateline, Williamsport, Virginia. After a fight with his girlfriend, a 26-year-old man flipped her car over and smashed the windows with a bulldozer he stole from a demolition site. Definitely not a Jew.
Yeah, Jews and heavy equipment.
Yeah.
We don't mix.
Right on the prescription bottle. They have the X through the thing, and then they have a huge nose with an X through it, too. Or it's a yarmulke. I don't know if they've updated it. T, speaking of Jews.
Yes.
Your dating story.
Well, you know, I've never been on an internet date before, and it's pretty big. I know a lot of people who've been married.
That's how
you know?
I would do it. If I was single again, that's exactly how I'd do it.
Well, so I started this MySpace page only because I thought I would wait for the phase to blow by like a hurricane and I'd never have to get on there. But there were a few fake Teresa Strassers on MySpace, so I had to go on and start a real one. And then, of course, last week I had nothing but time. I was off, and a guy started writing me, and his notes were kind of charming. And I thought, well, I have nothing really to lose.
Mm-hmm.
And he said... Yeah.
The one woman that has never heard of Ted Bundy.
Yeah,
kind of charming. But,
Well, okay, so I live in Koreatown, and there's this dive bar there called the Smog Cutter.
Mm-hmm.
Like, basically, you can picture Bukowski drinking there, and you probably did.
On Vermont?
On Virgil.
Oh, okay.
So, but close, very close. So, I don't know. He said, my friend canceled dinner tonight, which I think turned out to be a lie, and do you want to meet? And I said, okay, I'll see you at the Smog Cutter at 7.
And I said, you want some meat? He spelled it differently.
That's correct. That's perfect.
Yeah.
So, I went there. Now, it's weird because in today's world, like, I was able to see not only his MySpace page, but he's also something of a television personality, so I could see his reel. So I could see a lot of him. It wasn't like really a blind date.
Television personality.
Yes, on a low level.
Well, these days, you can punch almost anyone's name into something and find out just about whatever you need to know about them.
Yeah.
Smoking sucks.
You'll get Trump. More than 10,000 responses if you Google my name.
Really?
Yeah. And most of them bad.
Well, so I go to meet this guy at 7 for a drink, and at first it's
kind of, obviously it's a little awkward, but he's exactly like I thought. He looked like his picture and everything.
Now, are you going to tell us who the celebrity was at the end of the story?
No, he's not really a celebrity. He's just somebody who's worked kind of at a low level. You'd never know his name.
Really?
But I was able to...
But it's enough for you to have brought up.
Where would we know him from?
You wouldn't, because you wouldn't have seen his show.
Where wouldn't we know him from?
No, I don't want to give him away. Let me just say this.
Yes.
I'm not usually a big drinker. Usually I just
Hold
have
on.
One or two.
I'm going to venture a guess here. I'm intuitive, Danny. You're lying that about me. Robbie Knievel.
I cannot believe you just did that. So me and Robbie Knievel.
No way.
You and Robbie Knievel.
He's a freak
You two should never hang out.
No, it was not.
Bonaducci and Robbie Knievel. Can you imagine those two deciding what would be a good idea?
This guy was the polar opposite of a Knievel.
Okay.
So we said...
Let's jump the canyon. No, let's jump Teresa. Okay.
So I'm a little nervous, and I figure I'll have a Jameson's mm-hmm. or four.
Sure.
And,
take the edge off.
And then all of a sudden, the guy who was a little awkward at first, we had a hard time talking, we started having this great conversation, and I started thinking, this MySpace dating thing is great. And then, into the fifth Jameson's, we meet this couple who are at this smog cutter place, and they break out the karaoke, and then this couple goes to sing their song. Total Eclipse of the Heart, and they dedicate it to us. They say this song is for, and I'll change his name, this song is for Teresa and Eric.
Mm. Yeah, because you wouldn't want to use the real name of a guy we never heard of.
Robbie.
And then I was so mm-hmm. touched. Me and the Jamesons were so touched.
Yeah.
And I was so loaded, and the song was so beautiful.
All 28 minutes of it?
And I turned around to the guy who I've just met 4 hours before and said, do you want to go to Vegas and get married? And within about 4 seconds, we were in the car and driving toward Vegas.
Really?
Nice.
Now, when you said
I was bluffing.
Oh, you were bluffing.
I didn't think we were going to do it.
My wife was bluffing, baby. It doesn't work. Sometimes guys will call your bluff.
He did.
Well, bluffing, but bluffing, bluffing, or?
I think
desperate bluffing.
Is there a playing chicken bluffing?
Yeah, well, look, I mean, when you're boozed up, and by the way, as I learned from sitting next to Dr. Drew for all those years, having sex with someone who's drunk in the state of California is
marriage?
Legally rape.
What?
So
that
means
sex with him.
Just almost
so you
every
know.
Encounter I've ever had is under the eyes of the law is technically rape.
Well, yeah. I've been raped from 1982 Uh-oh. Until 2006.
Listen, I'm an old-fashioned girl. I don't have sex with strangers. I never have. Not that I'm judged. People who
You've
do.
You've never had a one-night stand?
Never. Never. Never have had one. I don't mm-hmm. judge it at all. It's just not for me.
All right.
So we're headed over there, and then we get around Ontario. And and I kind of had to go to the bathroom. I think we were out of gas.
Plus, you're passing an outlet mall, Teresa.
I had to do a little shopping.
Do a little bit of shopping.
After Christmas sale.
So, you're really heading to Vegas.
Yes. Yes.
Now, how...
I've never even kissed the guy.
How loaded is he?
Well, that's the concern about the story.
Mm-hmm. That's the concern about the story.
I probably shouldn't have been driving. Mm-hmm. Him. That was a mistake.
Was he? He was driving.
He was driving.
And he'd had a few pops. You had a few pops. And
yes.
What happened around Ontario
right
besides
around Ontario,
sobering up?
Right around Ontario, I got out to get a little gum and maybe a banana and some water.
Mm-hmm.
And I started thinking, I don't know this man. And the only thing that went through my mind was, I own a home. Sure, it's in a ghetto. It's in Koreatown. But mm-hmm. I don't know him, and I don't need him to own half of my Koreatown mansion.
Plus, there's a lot of desert between Vegas and Ontario.
Right.
Yes. A lot of places you could lose a body.
Yes. I wasn't really scared of that.
I know.
I was more fiscally concerned.
Right.
So then I think he sensed that I was having second thoughts, and we turned back around and then went to his place. But nothing really happened.
Now, his place, it was an apartment or a house?
No, here's the mistake. Turns out he has a house, which he owns, and it's a lot nicer than mine.
And there was a connection.
I felt like this
the
is the
house.
Connection.
Yes.
Can I tell you something, and this is just under the confines of radio. I do not mean this from Danny Bonducci to Teresa on a personal level.
Uh-oh.
Bitch!
Why?
You
did the guy
go
a favor.
And say, hey, let's get married, and then you don't bone him?
Danny, he then rejected me in the end. So I think you're going to...
I don't care which end you rejected him. You just should have done it.
You're going to turn around, Bright Eyes. Well, I told him before
what?
I went...
What's the Jew?
I hope he's wearing a
turn around brown eye.
I told him, just because I'm going over to your house, I should let you know there's no way I'm going to be having sex with you. Uh-huh. I told him ahead of time.
Yeah, all chicks say that.
I wish you weren't a liar.
Well, what do you mean he...
We do.
What do you mean he rejected you
well,
in the end?
Then in the end, so I stayed over there, and then we have the most...
Spent the night.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And it was the most magical time, and then he made me breakfast, and I thought, I'm this is my first MySpace date and my last. I'm in love.
Made you a roofie omelet?
with some avocado.
Yes.
And then I was supposed to have a conference call with you, Adam Carolla, mm-hmm. but it was canceled. So mm-hmm. I had to rush home to get to this conference call by 11, which never happened. And then we went out the very next night and had the most awkward, horrible second date that you can possibly imagine.
Mm.
During which he told me that he has a very bad pattern with women where he chases them and then the ones he can catch, he's not interested in anymore.
Oh, yeah. It's weird when people start revealing or volunteering horrible parts of their psyche on the second or third date.
I cannot stop fornicating with a mop handle.
That was a mistake. I admit it now.
Wait till the fifth date before you tell.
Possibly that. Wearing the lav mic. See, out on the date was a big mistake.
You got to do it right. You have to do it right. See, I spill real bad things about myself in the hopes, and I'm usually correct, that I can convince the girl that she's the only one in the world who can save me.
That's right.
I would have gone for that, but what I took from it, and at 29, I've been around long enough to know, when a guy tells you something like that about himself, he's not lying to you.
Well, especially when you've been 29 for 8 years. We need to take a break. So we need to, I got my Olympics screwed up. I left one out. We need to take a break. So will there be a third date?
I'll never speak to him again.
Really?
Yeah.
That bad?
It was the best of times. It was the worst of times.
Because I love my MySpace guys. Even the guys that call me up and hate my guts and write 4-page manifestos about what a scumbag I am, I write them back just saying, you write a really nice hate letter. I love MySpace.
I think he just wanted to have sex with me, and then when I didn't put out, he was over me.
Mm-hmm.
I feel that way about you.
Well, I got to say, I will not sleep until you get hooked up in a successful relationship, provided it's before 8:30 this evening, because I got to get up pretty early.
Yeah,
we'll take a quick break. Juliana DePandy, that's right. Speaking of relationships.
Engaged.
Had a little controversy we'll talk about last time she was on the show regarding something she said on another radio show that we called her out on, but apparently she's patched things up. We'll talk to Ease Juliana DePandy after this.
To the Adam Carolla Show, call 866-901-ADAM. And now ETV's Juliana DePandy on the Adam Carolla Show.
Yes, indeed. Good to see you, Juliana.
So nice to be here. It's always a pleasure being here.
The controversy I spoke of last time you're here was...
yeah, because I missed that.
I don't want to relive this. But
I do.
No.
Well, you can live it for the first time, right, Danny. I was driving home from, like, the airport, I believe, one day a few months back, and I heard you speaking to, I don't know, was it Leo the Film Freak, or who was it?
It was Jamie Kennedy, and Dave Adelson was doing a show, and Jamie Kennedy, the comedian, was on, who I'm friends with.
On and Free FM
is a strong word for Jamie Kennedy.
What would you call him, Danny?
An impressionist that makes people uncomfortable for a living.
Danny.
Wow, speaking of someone who makes people uncomfortable for a living, Danny.
Juliana's our guest.
We have now, I heard her speaking to these fellas about her feelings about Bill Rancic, who won The Apprentice a few years back. He's the only apprentice, for my money. The one with the nice teeth that Teresa Strasser's in love
with. I love your fiancé.
Then when he got out of the car, we have a clip of it, I believe. When he got out of the car, she changed her story. But let's listen. Sorry. You got out of the car.
And she kept talking.
So let's hear what that sounded like.
Is this the one, G?
You know, Dave, you know me, and I'm so not the type to say this, but I think so.
This is when you're in the car.
No joke. He just got out of the car. He's going to Whole Foods.
Okay.
So, no, he's not the one. Come on. You guys. He was listening. saying. You guys
She's amazing.
He just ran out to get some ahi tuna.
Oh, God, and, this guy's such an F-H-E.
Can you believe it? He's like, let's have ahi tuna tonight and scallops.
Oh, see, making fun of. Right. And I remember I was in my car and you said, they said, aren't you worried he's going to hear about this? And you said, there's no TiVo in radio. And I thought, yes, there is.
Yeah. Aren't you worried that ahi and tuna are the same thing? That you can't go get anything besides ahi tuna?
That's right. See, just to show how stupid I was that day.
You are a blinding, brilliant light.
Stupid across the board.
But you guys have patched things up.
Here's the deal. There was never a problem. Okay, first of all, Jamie and I go way back. He's a comedian. I was trying to be funny and keep up with him.
Mm-hmm.
Number one. Number two. Yeah. Number two. Bill and I had just recently started dating. And, you know, I wrote this that book, Think Like a Guy. And in my book, I talk about, you know, you never have to let, you know, you always have to play cool. Always, you know, never let him think he's got you. So right. I was trying to, you know, honestly, I kind of had my guard up. I was trying to act like I wasn't into him.
Right, playing hard to get.
Apparently I was.
Right. And so much so that you guys got engaged a few weeks back.
Yes,
congratulations.
We just got engaged. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, we dated about 8 months or so.
Your ring is fantastic. Did he propose to you in any grand way?
Yes. I had no idea I was going to Chicago. I thought he just wanted me to go for this business dinner. You know, we'd obviously talked about it, but I thought it was going to happen New Year's Eve because we were going to Cabo for New Year's. Mm-hmm. And instead, it was 2 weeks before New Year's Eve, and I went there, and I got out of the airplane, and he had a town car come get me because he told me that he wasn't going to be, that he was flying in, whatever, he was going to be late. And so I get in the car, and all of a sudden we just go out to the middle of nowhere. I'm literally, you guys, and this is so embarrassing, but I had hair pieces in because I had done the show that day. So I had like taken my hair extensions out. They're like on the floor of the limo, you know, I'm like just not thinking anything. We pull up to this field and the limo driver gets out of the car and I'm like, I'm getting whacked.
Yep.
Like, because it was this big guy. I'm in the middle of a field.
Sounds
in
like
Chicago.
My MySpace date.
It's the Sopranos.
Swear to God. Because seriously, why would they do that? He didn't say anything. He just gets out of the car. So I'm about to have a nervous breakdown. And so I grab my phone to start calling Bill to be like, help me, I'm dying. And the door opens and it's Bill. And he's like, come out of the car. And so all of a sudden we go around the corner.
He was in the front of the limo?
No, they brought me to a heli pad.
Mm-hmm.
And there he was. He had been dropped off somewhere, you know, someone else dropped him off. And we get out and there was a helicopter. We get in the helicopter. And I said, what's going on? And I thought, is he proposing? And he goes, we're going to look at the lights on Michigan Avenue in Chicago. And, mm-hmm. you know, I want to show you the lights from a helicopter. Very romantic.
Very romantic.
We get in. And so, like, Michael Bublé is playing. I love Michael Bublé. And it's, like, playing.
It's like ahi tuna to me.
Yeah. No.
He's playing in the helicopter.
Yeah. No, he's not in the helicopter.
Oh, I see. CD. I understand.
CD. Right. And then he, like, had champagne and deep dish Giordano's pizza, which is, like, my favorite deep dish pizza in Chicago.
A big deal. If you've never had it, it's a big deal.
Oh, my God. It's delicious. And so we start flying over, and all of a sudden he's like, yeah, there's Michigan Avenue, and I'm looking at, like, the Sears Tower. It was unbelievable. And I turn around, and Bill had gotten on his knee, and he pulled out a ring and was like, will you marry me? And he said all these beautiful things. I was in shock.
It was exactly the same thing with me and my wife, except for you have to replace helicopter with a love seat in North Hollywood, and the Ace Man in a bathrobe throwing the engagement ring at her, going,
what?
I hope you're happy.
Because were you nervous, and that's why you threw it?
Whatever it was a disaster compared to all your stories, and my wife gets more and more angry about it with each passing romantic story, as told by Juliana DePandy.
Yeah. Help her feel better by now that you know me. Do you see my wedding ring?
Oh, it's tattoo.
Mm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's not tattooed out of romance. It tattooed because the other ones kept coming off.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and she just got a little sick of that one day.
I will work that, yeah. I'll say, yes, you could be married to Bill Rancic, or you could be married to Danny Bonaduce.
Think about that.
So think about it,
think
baby.
About that.
That ring really is beautiful. Congratulations.
Thank you very much. Yeah, he picked it out all by himself, he and his mom. And his mom helped him a little bit.
Did
you
hear what you just said?
Yes, I did.
His mom.
You're marrying a Mo.
Stop it.
No, you are. I'm sorry.
No, I'm not.
My mommy helped me pick out my wife with my engagement ring.
No. He's close to his mom. But no,
Will she be there on the honeymoon giving him instructions? Yes. Oh, honey, baby.
No.
Go faster, honey.
She will not be on the honeymoon. No, she's awesome. But he, yeah, no. So he had seen a bunch of rings by himself because he, you know, wanted it to be a complete shock.
Is he still working for Trump and the Trump organization, or is he off doing on his own?
He does some stuff, but he does mostly his own stuff. Like, he does, like, a lot of real estate, and he travels around and speaks to entrepreneurs and that. And he's actually launching something today with Ace Hardware. Remember he was on here?
I know.
And you tested him on his knowledge of tools?
I know. We played Name That Tool, and the son of a bitch beat me.
He was pretty awesome.
I think his mom may have helped him.
But he did. You guys blindfolded. You guys were blindfolded or something?
Up an orbital sander and like a belt sander and a circular saw, and the guy got all the sounds of all the tools. I'll tell you, he's a keeper, and he's no queer bait, Danny, because no queer bait could beat the Ace Man and Name That Tool.
You guys, and I gotta be honest, we were just in Cabo, and the amount, he's definitely not queer, the amount of chicks that, like, people spit on me. Like, I'm a joke next to, not that I'm anything.
Right. That whole Rock Hudson thing, those hot guys, never mows.
Did you say, though, we were talking off the air about Cabo.
By the way, I don't think he's a mo. I was just mentioning it.
It's a possibility.
No.
Distinct possibility.
You were in Cabo with Jennifer Aniston, you said.
That's what I heard during the commercial.
I love it. I love how I'm starting rumors.
If this turns out to be, and then we got drunk and did it, story between you two.
No,
I'm
going to
be really happy.
That'd be amazing. But no. We went to a Mexican restaurant. We go to this little Mexican restaurant in Cabo for New Year's.
You and Bill.
Me and Bill and our friends. Mm-hmm. And we're like, oh, it's just like a dive, Mexican dive in Cabo. Like, this is great. We're escaping like Hollywood. You know, not that we really need to be. You know what I mean? It's like nice.
Out of the way.
Yeah. Walk in. Jennifer Aniston, Courtney Cox, David Arquette, Nicolette Sheridan, Michael Bolton. Separate tables.
Not together.
No. Then Adam Sandler. Adam Sandler and his wife at another table.
Really?
Sheryl Crow at another table. Literally, Mexican dive, New Year's Eve, like people are in flip-flops. Yeah, I walk in, I'm like, could this be more Hollywood? Like, I don't think you could find a restaurant in Hollywood that had more people there.
Now, did you introduce yourself to these people? Because you cover them on E!
Yes.
So much, and they must watch themselves on your show. And
you know, I got to say, David Arquette was watching the Bears game. He kept going to watch the Bears game. The nicest guy, like, couldn't have been nicer. Because I wasn't talking. I kind of had my, you know, because I don't want to be a tool and, like, walk up like, hey, what's up? So, but my friends were talking to him because they were all watching the game, and he was so cool. And, no, of course, I was, like, staring at Jennifer Aniston, to see, like, her, you know, how she was acting and stuff, but she looked totally cute,
and she's
over the whole thing.
She's single.
She looked good. She was single. She was rolling solo style. She looked good and healthy and tan, so it was good.
That means she's without Vince Vaughn.
Yes.
And do you mean that on a ongoing basis, that she is without Vince Vaughn?
Yeah, they broke up, I think.
Yeah,
they're
a while ago.
I think it's official. Right?
Yeah,
that's
over
a fait accompli, yes.
But look, she'll land on her feet. Juliana DePandy.
I hope not.
She'll land on her back.
Wait, Adam.
Yes.
Am I fat?
No.
Okay.
Stand up.
Last time I was here, Danny.
Yeah.
I walk in, and mm-hmm. now I'm a girl, you know, like you never. I walk in, he's like, we got to talk to you. I'm like, what? He's like, you've gained weight.
He was
they
saying
told
it in
me
a nice
I gained
way.
Weight.
In a nice way, he was saying that you had filled out and you looked more healthy because you used to be maybe a little underweight.
I, as we talked about.
I'm trying to help
you
out.
I'll tell you.
Thank you. I'll tell you.
Right, Danny?
Look, let me say this. The television, as we've talked about, we've broached this subject before. We'll broach it again. And now with Juliana and Danny in studio, we can obviously have almost some experts in working out exercise. Danny is a certified trainer. The TV makes you look fat. That is the problem. Here's the problem with all the women's eating disorders, all the little starlets of the world and their eating disorders, and the Nicole Richie problem and all that, is they think they look good because they do look good. They're very healthy. Then they go do a TV show. Then that night they watch themselves on the TV show and they think, oh my God, I look fat.
Yeah.
Because the TV adds 10 or 15 pounds, and especially to your head. It makes your head look big. big. So you look at the TV and you go, now I have to lose weight because my head looks big. The exact opposite was the problem with Kirstie Alley. Her head never grew, just her ass got big. Thus, she ballooned up to 300 pounds and nobody knew it because her head stayed the same size.
It just matched the size of her head. But if you're into her head.
If you're like me, and I'll dare say Juliana DePanty in this department, your head puts on more weight than the rest of your body. So, order to keep your head looking good on camera, the rest of your body must be smaller than is healthy for your head to look right.
Because when I look at myself on camera, I see this giant head, right? And so I go home and I try not to eat as much, especially since my complex last time I was here. So now I've really tried to not eat. But what's happening is my body is shrinking, but my head is staying the same. And it's only making my head look bigger.
And the only thing that makes this worse is working next to a guy for you. Yes. It's Ryan Seacrest.
He's got a teeny little peanut head.
Like an angel fish when you look at him straight ahead. I mean, there's nothing there. Right ear and his left ear about 3 inches apart. I know.
And his eyes are teeny tiny.
For me, it was Dr. Drew.
You know, he can see behind him. His eyes are so close like that. Yeah.
He's a beast of burden. Yes, Dr. Drew was that little head for me. He had a guy, he would put on weight, but his head would never gain an ounce. Whereas if I put on 7 pounds, my head puts on 9 pounds. It's disgusting, and then you look like a huge balloon head on camera.
In that case, then I have to retract my dick statement, saying that when you said, have you gained weight to a beautiful woman, put a dick move. I kind of have to take that back, because I will admit that when I first saw you on TV and didn't know your name yet, I would just say, oh, that hot big-headed girl.
Danny.
I would.
Oh. That's not helping. Adam, tell us she looks
like
pretty.
One of those Bratz dolls.
She looks gorgeous.
Told me that before, Danny.
You look like one of those Bratz dolls.
I interviewed him one time, and I remember you go, you look like a Bratz doll, and I almost killed myself. And he said, no, that's a good thing.
It's not a good thing.
Who wants to have a giant head?
Here's the thing. You are a beautiful woman. Obviously, let's just do the math. You just got engaged to a guy who could be with any woman on the planet, and yet he chose you.
Right.
Massive cabeza and all. He chose Juliana Capandi.
It's just you being an engineer. Or
Juliana Capandi.
Capandi.
He has a Bratz doll fetish.
Hold this mini guitar. He could have anyone he wants, and he chose you, and you're beautiful, and all I was saying, you put on a little weight as a compliment because it looks spectacular in real life.
Doctor.
Juliana DePanty,
thank
everyone.
You, Dr.
Please don't throw up between here and the parking lot. What you do at home, I can't control. Weeknights, E! News, 7 o'clock to 11 p.m., Ryan Seacrest, man with a head like a piece of toast. Profile. Kid's head could fit in a toaster. We'll be on there with Juliana making her head. You know what you need to do?
What?
You need to get someone with a huge head. You need to get, like, John Goodman to host that show with you, in which case you'd be the one with the small head instead of...
Just get some random, hydrocephalic. You know, with the huge head where they put the shunt in it to drip the water out.
I'll tell you what. Remember when Jerry Lewis was on the medication?
Yes.
Because look.
Get pumpkin head.
Well, you know, I'll tell you, it's all relative because when I was teamed up on TV with Dr. Drew, I was balloon head. And then when I was hooked up with Kimmel, he was balloon head. Right. You see what I'm saying? My head never changed.
Wait, how about I'm doing Kimmel tonight? So you're saying he's got a big balloon head. I'll look good next.
Well,
I'll look skinny next to him.
Yeah. It'll be like a Macy's Day parade over there. We're going to take a break.
And George Lopez is on. There's going to be giant head night.
Mexicans have huge heads. That's smart. He's like you hit him, candy will come out of his mouth.
God.
All right. You'll be on Kimmel tonight?
Yes, with George Lopez. So my head actually has a chance of looking normal tonight.
Sorry, Jay. I'm going to be watching Kimmel tonight.
Yeah.
I'll make an exception to watch Juliana DePanty. We'll take a quick break. T?
Yes.
Forget about teeing up the news. We'll hear it fresh after this on the Adam Carolla Show.
Hey, man, put a positive spin on this. Your big name guest for tomorrow, voiceover legend Dylan LaFontaine.
What else we got, Jack?
I'm doing it too long. Wait.
Thanks, Jack. It's the Adam Carolla Show with Teresa Strasser and Danny Bonaducci. Here's Adam.
Mm-hmm. Well, Now, I fibbed to you guys because I said we're coming back with the news, but I got some other news for you, and then we'll get to the official news. We're going to be at the Playboy Mansion. When I say we, I mean me and Teresa.
Yeah. We just found out that Danny Bonaducci...
I am not allowed anywhere. We have my radio stations that I've done all through the country have always tried to do something in the Playboy Mansion, and I've never gotten to do them because my wife will not let me go.
Now, what happened? Is there something that happened in the grotto that your wife found out about circa 1991?
No, there's something happened in her garage when she was upstairs. I'm
really?
A loser.
You cheated on your wife in the garage while she was home?
I don't know if she was home.
But it was your garage.
Let me just say, this is all like a long time ago. I've improved my character greatly, or I would not
be
so bold
test.
As to embarrass my wife in such a fashion. But once you have been that kind of a guy, and my wife, aside from me, my wife is, like I said, a very strict Christian.
Right.
And has like issues with all of that anyway. And me being a recovering alcoholic, and you've got booze and Playboy bunnies, and I take a pill that makes it impossible for me to drink.
Right.
But I don't know of a pill that would make me impossible to get it up. They just don't have those.
Well, let's tell us more about this live broadcast, Adam, that Danny may or may not be able to go to.
Oh, they're working a little saltpeter into the food, if you're listening, Mrs.
Bonaducci. I can still do it on saltpeter. No,
oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah?
No, they've given me... we tried all sorts of stuff, because I was, like, really bad in the first few years, and I said, honey, I can't help it. I cannot stop. I
can't stop cheating.
I couldn't. Oh. I couldn't stop. And we went to the doctor, and he gave me these hormones that should lower my sex drive, and they did not.
Really?
And he said, I've never seen that happen before. I've
chemical
never seen that
castration.
Yet. Essentially, that's what we're looking into, yeah.
A pill. So you take a pill that makes you unable to drink alcohol.
I don't usually take it anymore. It's been a really long time now, but I do take it when I fly because airports used to be just like anywhere else to me. Mm-hmm. They were just fine. They'd say your flight's 3 hours delayed, and I'd go, cool. And I just go
loaded.
To the bar and just get wasted.
Right.
Now, if an airport, you know, your plane's delayed, life just sucks. So I take this pill, and what the easiest way to explain it is, it turns alcohol into formaldehyde on contact. And if I take a drink the same day I take that pill, you'll see me at the emergency room in 5 minutes.
Wow. Hmm. So a pills that so that you can't drink and you were looking for...
No, I got pills that would reduce my sex drive and they just didn't work.
Oh, didn't work. Can I borrow them? Because I don't mind.
Are you having a problem?
I humped a futon chair last night. I was so wound up. I had to kick the dog off it so I could get some.
Wow. See, if you move the dog, you really weren't that horny.
That's a good point. That's when the dog stays. That's when you got to take a long look in the mirror. Well, we will be at the Playboy Mansion
on
the
18th. You know, it's my new job. Yes. She's got to let me go. I'm going to put my foot down.
Well, I would say, and if my wife is listening too, it's not, you know, the places that you cheat are not the obvious places.
Totally true.
True.
It is
the garage.
The out of the way places. That's right. That's right. It's the little afternoon tryst. It's the I'm going out with my buddies when you're not going out with your buddies.
Right.
But it's not. See, the Playboy Mansion, Danny Bonaducci, all eyes upon him. There's no
way. Cameras rolling.
Right.
There's no way you're going to sneak off somewhere for 20 minutes and do something in the monkey cage with Miss July 1984.
You're quite the optimist.
Well, I included the walk over the cage and back.
Well, this is Thursday night, January the 18th, and I think, can our listeners win a chance to go?
Yes, they can win tickets starting next Monday, and also this is all brought to us via my good friends over at The Apprentice, which is coming out to Los Angeles this year, and this isn't just lip service. I watch every installment of The Apprentice. I love the show.
Same.
And Sunday nights at 9:30, they're doing the big 90-minute Los Angeles one, and this time, when you lose, the tribe that loses, as it were, sleeps in a tent.
Which is what happens to Danny after he cheats.
That's right. He cheats in the garage and
Dude,
he gets thrown out to
a
the driveway.
Tent is such a step up from what happens to me.
So, Bonaducci will or will won't?
No,
will
not? I'm going to put my foot down. I'm going to go.
Really?
Whatever she says, I'm going to go. Absolutely. I'm the breadwinner. I've changed. It's been 5-6 years since I've done anything
wrong. Can we talk to Gretchen about it? Is
well,
she available?
We can, except for
we
running late.
Oh.
No, we don't hate her. But we're running late, T, because, well, we started talking. What a,
what a, what a surprise.
Let's cut news and talk to Danny's wife.
We'll see. We'll get her. I'll tell you what. Let's work her into the news.
Okay,
let's talk to her during the next segment, and we'll see if Danny putting his foot down did it or not. We'll take a quick break. Tee up the news, and part of that news will be Mrs. Bonaducci.
Yes, hopefully we'll be talking to Gretchen. We'll be talking about Brett Favre and what made him cry over the weekend. And also, who's in rehab? Not Danny, but another celebrity.
But Danny.
I got my own room. Dude, you wouldn't believe who I met. You have roommates? I had the A-list star was my roommate.
Who?
It's anonymous.
Yeah, I can't really tell you.
Oh, really? But A-list.
A-list. And as a matter of fact, A would be a clue.
Oh, Ben Affleck.
Aldo Celli.
Ah, I got it.
Oh, Ben Affleck.
I never said you got it.
Yeah.
How was he?
You know what I was going to... My next clue was going to be that he was very heavily insured.
Uh-huh.
By that duck.
Yes.
That was going to be my next clue. He was my roommate.
Wow.
You know, kind of a dull guy.
Shocker.
I told him... I said, well, you know, I would never talk a guy into checking out of rehab if you think you need to be here. But you know what his problem was? He said, because I said to him, after about 2 weeks, they let you go to the store. You have to go with a keeper, and then you have to pee in a cup when you get back, but you're allowed to go to the store. And when I got back, he said, I said, you know, I got to tell you, if I have done the things that I have done to get in here, you as an A-list star, if you'd done any of these things, they'd be all over the paper. And he said, it's coming.
Oh, really? So preemptive strike.
So the next week, I get my next door visit. And you know what his big deal was? He went to Vegas, had a few beers, and won $800,000.
Oh, God forbid.
Wow.
Yeah, but do the math. Next time it could be $1 million, and then $2 million. And where does it end?
Then it could have gone all the way up to a six-pack, too.
That's a high bottom.
God.
Listen, please, save your stories for a guy who doesn't have to do half his whizzing in a cup. Danny, yes or no? You've done more whizzing in a cup than you have in a urinal.
I have filled more jars than Kraft.
I don't know what you'd call that salad dressing, but it would be horrible. We will take a break. We'll be back with the news and Gretchen Bonaducci after this.
This flight out of Washington, D.C., apparently she had terrible gas.
Teresa Strasser, the number one Jewish news reporter on this station right now. The Adam Carolla Show.
Well, it's my show, but now it's Teresa Strasser's time to shine.
No kidding.
With the news.
In the last waning moments of 2006, Ryan Seacrest turned it over to Dick Clark to count down the final seconds. Dick Clark was looking tan and pretty healthy. He goes to do the countdown. He does pretty well, although he seems to miss the number 10, and I think he's a little out of sync with the actual time, but I will play it for you now. Dick Clark.
12, 11, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, happy New Year.
And he started the countdown at 9:45 that evening. It was 3 hours of him counting
who
down.
Who starts a countdown at 12?
He actually started at 20, but I didn't want you to have to listen to the whole thing.
He started at 10.
Yeah, he started 10.
Yeah, he started at 20 for real, and I just played you for
you know who I want? I want to see them co-host. I want to see Dick Clark and Mary Jo Buttafuoco. Host it. Ten. Fine. Hey, not my Joey. That used to be a dream for me.
I'm not even going to say anything about Kirk Douglas. Now, on to celebrity engagements, etc., and breakups and babies. Michael Jordan and his wife divorcing after 17 years. Now, if you heard that, I was surprised. They seem like a happy couple, have 3 kids. Jay Moore, the comedian, and Nikki Cox got married Friday night in Vegas.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah, they live up the street from me.
Yes, and your friend Bobcat Goldthwait, I believe, used to be engaged to Nikki Cox.
Mm-hmm.
Then model Nikki Taylor and NASCAR driver Bernie Lamar were married last Wednesday. Tiger Woods and his Swedish wife are expecting.
What?
A baby.
Oh, that kid's going to be beautiful.
I know. Yeah.
That is a nice set of jeans they got going
on
over there.
Absolutely, yeah. And Julia Roberts and her husband.
Because he's like a bunch of stuff.
Yes.
He is?
He's not a black guy.
No. Yes.
No, he's like Asian and Thai.
Yeah.
He's like, what was it? He's from Ghana, and he's from Korea, and he's Ghanaian. Something like that.
He's a bunch of stuff, and she is Aryan.
Yeah.
She is one thing. She's the best-looking white person on the planet.
Yeah, she's gorgeous.
If they have a girl, I'm going to steal her.
Just take her?
Mm-hmm.
Raise her in the basement?
I was going to say raise her like my own, but then it would be weird when I had sex with her.
Yeah. Right. Julia Roberts and Danny Motor already have the twins, Phineas and Hazel.
I'm taking Hazel, too.
Just take, not Phineas?
No. No use for the lad.
Well, they're expecting a third child.
I don't care. His name's Phineas. I don't want him.
I think Finn is a cute nickname.
I was making fun of her naming the kid Finn for a couple of years, and then somebody pointed out to me that my nephew's name Finn. Yeah. So I had to stop making fun of him, especially in front of my sister.
Oh.
What kind of gay name is Finn? Who the hell would name their kid Finn?
I was talking about how much fun I think if you have to pick a fun disease, I got to go with Tourette's. Mm-hmm. And I was in the car driving home from, they were doing a new show called The Recasting of the New Partridge Family, and I was in the car with David Cassidy, and he goes, my son has it.
Oh, dude.
Yeah,
that's
totally
awkward.
But still funny.
It's still Cassidy.
Was he wearing a choker?
Yeah.
Now, Brett Favre, tough guy, football player, but this Sunday, he let his softer side show. The Green Bay Packers beat the Chicago Bears, and a reporter asked him about retiring because that may have been his last game. Brett got very, very choked up. Let's take a listen.
What's the tabernacle in the background? Because I'm going to start crying if I hear that tabernacle going.
It's on the
game, but just want to let them know that. I wasn't planning on doing this either. Way to put me on the spot.
It's got to suck for his wife because this guy's had more tragedy than every 10 seconds somebody's eating it on an ATV. On some of his acreage up in Beaumont or wherever the hell his plantation is. He better weep his ass off when that kind of stuff happens. Because if his old lady's home watching him cry his ass off over not hanging out with his strong side tackle anymore, and yet he didn't shed a tear at the funeral of her brother 4 months ago, yes. he better collapse
very
in a
nice
heap.
Golf. He set
the crying bar very high.
That's right.
Right.
Now
that's
he's got to keep to it. Okay, let me wrap this up quickly because I think Gretchen's on the phone and I would love to for us to speak to her.
I'm not speaking at her. I'm in tour. I'm speaking at her. I'm letting her know.
You're
I'm setting down the law.
Okay, well, it'll briefly here. Vern Troyer, who was on The Surreal Life, he had a little problem with alcohol. You may remember this little moment from The Surreal Life of Vern after he'd had one too many. He's saying, I'm all right, I think.
Vern ended up getting trashed.
He ended up whizzing everywhere.
Yeah. Yes, he was in a lot of trouble. He almost drank himself to death after breaking up with his girlfriend back
There's
in 2002. And now,
well, let me say this. If you have a guy who's going to get loaded and start whizzing all over the place,
yes,
best to have a dwarf do it. What you don't want is some guy fresh out of the NBA whose dork is resting on your shoulder while he's relieving himself. What you want a guy, the worst you're going to do is lose some Italian loafers. You know what I mean?
Weighing that splash because of the distance.
Right.
A puddle.
Right. What you don't want is Stretch McConaughey up there loaded 3 sheets to the wind, all 7'4" of him decide he's going to take a whiz on Bonaducci's bald spot.
I bet I could put out that fire pit. Yeah, you don't need that.
No, you want a dwarf doing it.
Yeah. From a physics perspective, it's a win.
Yeah, it's like when a lap dog relieves itself in some high shack.
Well, we wish him the best.
We certainly do. Godspeed.
I don't wish him that. Shut up, drunk dwarf.
Plus, he's probably nailed more models than all of us put together.
And that is the news.
Teresa Strasser with the real news.
Well,
you, CNN.
Speaking of news, so we said that we're going to be at the Playboy Mansion on the 18th. Gretchen.
Good morning.
Good morning, Gretchen.
Oh, my God, I can't stop laughing, honey. You're on a good show. This is so exciting.
The beautiful wife of Danny Bonaducci. Now, you have forbid Danny from going to the Playboy Mansion in the past because of his cheating ways?
Well, don't you think that's like dropping Danny in a pile of cocaine and telling him not to breathe?
Well, maybe.
I don't know. Let's try.
But, well, first off, you should know he's actually inside of Teresa Strasser right now.
Yeah. Gretchen, that is not true. And, Gretchen, I would like to tell you, I'll keep my eye on him.
I love you, girl. Well, as long as you promise to do that, because I really do not feel good about it.
I understand, and there's a fair, and I've had this conversation. I had this conversation with my wife, although we weren't married at the time, when the Dixie Chicks asked me, when Natalie asked me to escort her to the
Grammys
right. several years ago, and my wife, our girlfriend, got pissed off. Right. I said to her, look, in this business that I'm in, there are about 9 things out of 10 that are cool for you. Backstage passes, hang out with this celebrity, right. tickets for you and your friends, right. wherever. Whenever there's a big concert, I get the tickets. Right, there's travel. There's all kinds of perks. But there is that one
right.
that's bad. It's the Playboy Mansion. It's the going to the Grammys with the Dixie Chick.
Right.
I hate it. I really hate it.
But what about the part where you live in a big house and where your kids are very well taken care of and you can get tickets to any concert in the land?
Yeah, what about that?
So?
Matter of fact, it was, wasn't it this very station that got us, before we even worked here, got us tickets to a very cool concert? And we went backstage and we met very cool bands?
Yes, that's very true.
All right, so if I got to burn Miss January to pay for those tickets, it's just something I got to do.
That's right. You want to see Savage Garden again, sweetie? All right, so you're saying that if Teresa keeps a watchful eye on Bonaducci, although she's been... I'll watch, but I gotta admit, first off, Teresa gets loaded at those events, and it's not much good to anyone after about the 7 o'clock hour.
And may I say, from where I stand, Corolla is a guy's guy, would never narc me out.
That's right.
I think I could bone Miss October right in front of him, and he wouldn't tell you.
I would not, and I would... But I would lie to you and say, well, keep an eye on him. And as a matter of fact, I will invite you to come as long as you wait in the car.
Actually, that's a good solution. Can she come?
I've been inviting her to come for 17 years and she still hasn't.
Never taken you up on that.
What about that, Gretchen?
Absolutely, yeah. I'll wait in the car. That sounds like a very good solution.
Okay, so let me just read this to you. It's the Playboy Mansion live broadcast Thursday night, January 18th. Win tickets starting next Monday morning. Watch the 90-minute premiere of The Apprentice Los Angeles Sunday night at 9:30 on NBC. All proceeds go to Children's Leukemia Research.
Now, how can I say no to
that's
that?
Right.
Only if
that's
you hate
right.
sick children.
Although, will you guys push a bar outside by the car window so I can...
We'll give you some booze. And keep in mind, when Danny's on top of that Likat, he's doing it for charity.
That's right.
All right.
All right, then.
Thank you, Gretchen. Thank you for your seal of approval.
It's so funny. I am just cleaning my toilets and cracking up over here.
And can I tell you how much you hate my last job? I would come home every day and she'd be flipped out yelling and screaming about my last job. So this is actually really nice. Thanks, honey.
Well, mazel tov to the Bonaduccis. We'll take a quick break and we'll be back right after this. Oh, man. This is going to be the most information I can pack into 45 seconds possible. Because we've screwed up on our timing. Danny and I spoke way too much at the early part of the show, and now we're dreadfully behind. Let me use this very short period of time to just reconnect with the listeners who weren't listening in the very early hours when we spoke about Dave Damashek's departure. Just the big beats. He's still a friend. We wish him well. This was a business decision that was made out of New York. I had no control over. But let's not spend 07 crying looking into a rear view. Let's look ahead. The road is paved with Danny Bonaducci's. And we welcome
him. Littered with cigarette butts.
And we welcome him into our family. Now.
Thank you.
We'll miss Bruska and Big Tad as well, although not as much. I meant
we
that
wish
about
them
Big
all
Tad.
Well.
Oh, yes. But we'll do nothing about helping it. We'll take a quick break. Sorry. And then we'll be back to wrap up and wrap down. Well, dreadfully out of time. I want to thank Juliana DePandy and Perez Hilton for being part of the show. And again, welcoming Danny Bonaducci to the program.
Thank you very much.
Nice cherry popping. Done good, son.
Thank you.
So, until next time, this is Adam Carolla saying mahalo. My husband is gay and I'm a beard and he cannot achieve an erection while I'm present.